Morning, everybody. Matt Babala here with you on 720 WGN 109 in the morning. We're here with you until 5 a.m. Thanks for staying up even later with us here on 720 WGN or online at WGNradio.com. We're live from the Allstate Skyline Studios here at 303 East Wacker. A very chilly night, Roger Badish.
Just a tad on the nippy side.
Oh. Tommy was all excited going to bed Thursday night because he's like, there's going to be 2.5 inches of snow. He's all pumped up.
Please.
Now, there wasn't 2.5 inches of snow, but where we live, the grass was covered this morning.
Yeah.
I went out and scraped the car for Mrs. Bubala before she headed off to work.
Okay.
So we had enough to make it really annoying.
Right.
But more importantly, it was freezing outside yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, and tonight, it's bad. I'll tell you what, though. We're off to a good start this weekend.
Oh.
There's always a bellwether on whether your weekend's getting, well, for me at least, whether the weekend's going to get off to a good start.
What is that?
I got that spot that's right in front of the building.
You did. You know, and it was so weird. Somebody was, somebody earlier tonight here, we were talking about parking spots, and I mentioned, can't you get that spot right in front of the building? And they said, well, no. And I said, well, Matt gets it all the time. Says,
not all the time.
Well, he gets here at 1 in the morning.
Yes, that makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Big difference. I'll tell you, for those of you, we've talked about this before, but if you haven't heard, so, you know, now that we've moved to a new building at the Tribune lot, us overnighters on the weekends, we had that open air lot behind the building. We could always park.
Right.
It was easy.
Yeah, so for free.
If you worked overnight on the weekends.
Yeah.
But now here at the new building, there's no parking included. So, like, you buy a spot. And you, or you're able to walk through a pedway at night, right?
Yeah.
So Roger never
Roger
doesn't have to go outside. He can get over here.
Mm-hmm.
Jess is all over the place on what she's doing. She's gone back and forth on a bunch of things.
Right.
She hasn't settled on what she's doing yet. But I don't want to pay for the parking. I already pay for parking in the city. It's too far to walk here at night. So I scrounge for street parking here on the overnights. And usually I'm about a block or two blocks at the most away right here on the street.
That's not bad.
What, Columbus?
Yeah, Columbus.
On Columbus, which isn't too bad, but tonight I was really dreading it. And,
because
it's freezing outside.
Everybody wants that spot.
Well, that, too. And I usually don't get it, but you know, it's like I don't have the one thing, if I could change one thing about the automobiles, I would get that remote start.
Yes.
Because I just can't imagine the life-changingness of in the winter walking out to a car that's outside and it being warm and ready to go. I mean, that's just heaven.
And I've grown up, and I don't know how you've done it, but I grew up with having to sit in the car for 15, 20 minutes until the heat actually kicks in.
Well, I suppose my very first car, which was a 1969 Buick Skylark, didn't heat up real quick.
Okay.
But I don't remember that real well because I was young and I didn't care as much, right? When you're 20, 25 years old,
you're just
warm.
Happy to have a car.
You know, my 17-year-old son, Jack, he was going to the movies tonight. He's like about to walk out with,
like a sweater.
It was a push to get him to put a sweatshirt on.
Yeah.
I'm like, and a coat. It's 18 degrees out. You know, what if the car doesn't work? What if you get stuck somewhere?
Right.
I know you're Mr. I'm warm, it's fine, but geez, oh,
and nothing on their heads. No hat, God. Nothing on their ears.
No, none of that.
Drives me wild.
So anyways, normally when I come down here, I'll look for some street parking. It's a block or two away, but there's this building is interesting. So there's this building, which is right at the end. So we're on Wacker and Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And then right next to our building, kind of attached to our building, is a firehouse.
Right.
A fire department house.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have a bunch of reserved parking for that. And so, like, right out in front of this building, there's, like, 8,000 signs. Like, you could literally stand there trying to figure out there's, I think, right next to the one. So there's one open paid parking spot in front of our building. And then there's, like, no parking taxi stand. Parking only for, I think, I swear, if I remember this correctly, it says Hungarian consulate.
Could be.
And there might be another consulate, and then like bus, you know, blocked out for bus and tow zone, and then parking for firehouse only, and all this stuff. But there's just this one little spot that's a pay to park spot.
That's and I still find that so weird.
It is the weirdest thing. It is the weirdest thing. But it's like, you know, finding the perfect gumball in that big tub when you throw in the quarter. When that you pull up from Lower Wacker, and you're like, if I turn right, I got to go down and find a spot. But if I get to turn left, that spot's open.
Yeah.
So I pulled up and my eyes bulged out. I can't believe on the coldest night of the year so far, that spot's right there.
Oh, man.
Oh, it was heaven.
Well, I didn't drive today at all.
How come?
Well, I usually don't on unless I've got an emergency run to the grocery store.
During the day, you didn't go out at all, you're saying?
Yeah, during the day. On days I got to work, I try to stay home and rest up and,
sure.
and get my body clock going. Later today is going to be crazy. I've got so much going on outside of the house. But so I didn't drive. When did I? Oh, I bowled last night. So I got home about 11 o'clock last night and parked the car. And that was it. So, you know, it nothing stuck up by us. We're close to the lake. The snow was coming down, big wet flakes, but it really didn't stick, just made the ground kind of wet. And so I went out to the car, and I got in, turned on, got the heater going, and I forgot that I had pushed my side view mirror closed. You know, you can move them
right.
so that somebody doesn't hit it.
Right.
And I usually don't do that, but the people who parked next to me were kind of close. I said, all right, I'm going to play it safe. And so I went to open my window to reach out and push it back open.
Right.
This
window doesn't want to open.
Window's not moving.
Frozen, you think? Or
frozen.
Yeah. Wow, already.
So
huh?
I'm starting to bang on it from the inside.
Because that always works.
Of course.
It worked for Fonzie. Why not for me?
Why tempt fate?
Yeah. I'll just hit this a couple times and maybe, honey, what do you think's wrong with that? I don't know. Let me punch it. Let's see what happens.
Well,
technically, is that what the manual says? Yes.
The manual does.
Honey. It
says, open frozen windows.
Throw a couple punches at it, see if that loosens it up.
And if it doesn't work from the inside when you punch it, get out of the car and punch it from the outside after you then
absolutely.
Move your side
now,
view mirror back
now,
into place.
Where are you parked at? Where were you at?
Behind our place.
Okay, you're right.
In an open parking spot.
So I got to ask, so if you've got the time and you really want to get this window to roll, I mean, mm-hmm. you could have just stepped out of the car and opened up the, and fixed the mirror and then got back in and gone.
Well, I did.
Oh, you weren't like determined to get this window to come down?
Well, I kept hitting it and hitting it and hitting it. And as I drove, I hit it some more on the inside. And
I would think that once I start driving around, inside warms up. Maybe that
kind of... Well, yeah, I got the thing. I got the heat going.
Right.
I got it up to like 85 degrees.
Mm-hmm. A balmy 85. having a Mai Tai as I drive down LSD in the 18 degree weather.
Yeah, I took my jacket off and my hat.
Sure.
You know,
now you're sweating in
there. Yeah. So I tried it again, and finally it cracked open. I mean, it you could hear it breaking the ice, the whatever ice there was on it. So I got it open.
So the motor wasn't frozen. It was that the window itself.
The window
was
stuck from
stuck.
The ice.
Okay.
Yeah, the water had gotten in and frozen.
Yeah.
Then I said, well, let me try the other windows. And so I tried the back windows. Those were fine. Then I tried the passenger side.
Why are you doing all this?
While I'm driving? I want to make sure I can get the windows open.
Why do you need the windows open when it's 18 degrees out?
What if something happens? I get stuck in the car. I got to get out.
You open the door.
What if the door is stuck? What if the door is stuck? What if I'm trapped somewhere?
It lets you in. Why wouldn't it let you back out?
What if I'm trapped somewhere and I got to open the window to get out?
Where are you getting trapped at?
I don't know. The car door trap place.
I mean, unless you're driving it into the lake on accident.
No,
and you're planning
no,
this out.
Then I wouldn't. Well, then you do want to get. So it's still frozen.
I'm sure I'm going to get these things open and then they're not going to shut again. And then I'm really
in
trouble.
Well, that was the other issue. Sure. Because you don't know where the freezing happened.
Yeah. So just leave them closed.
No.
Oh, Roger.
And I'm thinking, this is a fairly brand new car.
Yeah.
What the heck are my windows freezing for?
Well, because they had some ice that froze them.
But it's a new car. New cars aren't supposed to do that.
So what, a new car is like a shielded from ice? It's not going to ice up, parked outside
in
Chicago in the winter?
I want my car to be.
Did you scrape or along the edges?
No, I didn't do.
No.
I didn't have to do anything.
You've got ice that's frozen on the ice.
But I didn't see anything there. There was no like little frozen droplets on the window.
Yeah,
I had no clue that it was going to be frozen.
Okay, I thought that this was going to get to the point where you got out the extension cord and brought out the hair dryer and started heating up the windows.
I do have an extension cord.
Who doesn't? Of course.
From the basement, I've got one that go all the way out to the car.
You do. So you've done
do.
Stuff like this before?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
But the extension cord
But you know you can if you need to.
I could, yeah. The extension cord was for a snow sweeper.
Okay.
Like a little snow broom.
Okay.
That, like, didn't work.
Okay.
So I left the cord there, got rid of the snow broom.
I wonder, I bet we have listeners out there who've done this, who have, when the car wouldn't start, and they could, you know, reach it with an extension cord, have gotten out the hairdryer.
Oh, I'm sure.
And tried to warm it up.
Oh, yeah.
I remember I've told the story before, but in 19, what was it? When did we have the 80 below wind chill? I want to say it was 83.
83.
Or else it was 81.
You know what? You're probably right.
Yeah, it was one of the two. When we had the,
and it was in February, beginning of January.
It was right around Christmas. It was during the Christmas break because we were home from school. And I remember Christmas Eve, we always went to Midnight Mass at St. Thomas More in Munster. And I remember us opening up the hoods. This is crazy, and I doubt that this made any difference at all. But I remember my dad popping the hood on the 69 Buick Skylark that I later drove and putting a blanket on.
Yeah. While we were in there. A lot of people used to put blankets on their engines.
Do you think that made any difference at all?
Well, yeah.
Yeah?
What do you do when you get cold when you're sleeping in bed? You put on a blanket.
I'm not a machine.
You get another pink blanket.
Here you go, honey. Let me tuck you in while we go inside. I was like, how about you just leave me in a garage instead? That's better.
Well, you didn't know, but there was, but truckers, I remember this when I was young, when it was really, really cold out in the winter, truckers would put cardboard over the air grill.
Over the grill in the front so it wouldn't go into it?
So the cold air wouldn't come in and freeze the engine. But I always thought, well, if that's for the air circulation for the engine, to kind of like, you know, keep it cool so it doesn't overheat, the engine's going to overheat. It's not getting any air. I never understood that.
Well, maybe they took it off once they started driving again?
They had it while they were driving.
Well, maybe there's enough air that's still going to get in there.
Yeah, it could be. Maybe Trucker Phil might call and let us know.
Yeah.
He's out tonight.
Yeah. 630 says you need your car's driver's side window open so you can get food from drive-in.
There you go.
Or go to an ATM or drive-through pharmacy.
Right. And if I was using the old parking lot that I was using before I went in the new one, you have to open your window and take the ticket.
Ah, yes.
And then at the end, you have to put the ticket in and then do your little code on the phone thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to open it up. And then as I'm thinking that's what I had to do, I suddenly remembered, oh, no, I got one of these transponder things.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm thinking, well, crap, that's been in the car all day long. Maybe that's too cold to ever work. So like a dummy, I took it out where I keep it. And I held it in front of the air blower to try to warm it up. Like an idiot.
Oh, my gosh, Roger.
I'm bad. By the way, I got some news.
Oh.
You know about that fire that's burning near Malibu? It's actually approaching Malibu.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
They evacuated like a third of Malibu or something.
Yeah,
right?
and everyone's being ordered to evacuate. And a couple of stories have come out. A lot of famous Kardashians have had to evacuate. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Lady Gaga has evacuated.
I saw that she tweeted about saying prayers
right.
for everybody.
And
out there.
Charlie Sheen. Reported that his father was missing.
Martin Sheen?
Yes.
That's not good.
And then Martin Sheen, a reporter, bumps into him on the beach and says, you know, your son reported you missing, you and your wife.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we're fine. We're living out of our car on Zuma Beach.
I guess they figure the flames can't go much further than that, right?
They're heading to the ocean.
Yeah.
And there's nothing there but sand once you get, you know, everything's burned on the road and the mountains above. But, yeah, so that's what happened. Martin Sheen is, I'm looking at a story here. It says,
President Bartlett has retreated to the beach. It's like it's an apocalyptic movie now.
He says, we're fine. We're at Zuma Beach. We're probably going to sleep in the car tonight. We're just fine.
I don't know that he should be telling reporters that. And that
exactly where he's at.
Yeah.
I don't think
Zuma Beach, we're sleeping in the car.
if you
need us, come on by.
Right.
Rob us blind.
No.
No problem.
I'll bet you he's not alone.
I hope not.
Because people who have property along the highway there and along the ocean, it's not safe. They're being told to evacuate.
Yeah.
So where you don't have any, you can't go east because that's where the fire is.
Why didn't he go down into L.A.?
Huh?
He's Martin Sheen.
Yeah, I know.
Go down into L.A., maybe stay at Charlie's house, or if you don't like your son Charlie, go to a hotel. You've got millions of dollars, I think.
Rainn Wilson?
Yes, from The Office, Dwight Schrute.
Has evacuated.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian West has evacuated.
It's really weird for us to get, like, this is now, like, this is the oddest WGN School Closing Center report I've ever heard. We're going through the list of celebrities that have had to evacuate their homes. I'm having flashbacks of, like, you know, Bob Collins reading off the list and him and Tom Peterson going back and forth.
Back and forth, right, right.
And
we'll
see,
get to
else?
The we'll get to the T yeah. through W's
Carrot
after
Top
this
has
break.
Evacuated. And yes, and now let's see who else.
Wow. Yeah, so his
Ted Danson is now cleared out.
All their homes have been burned to the ground.
Well, have or are they worried they're going to? And I've seen a couple of photos on Twitter that look like, and I wonder if they're doctored almost because the
where they're driving through it.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
Like you expect a flame to shoot out and just engulf
just
the car
the sky
that's driving.
Is covered like it's like it's something biblical.
I think Alyssa Milano. I think I read something earlier. She said her place was totaled.
That's terrible.
Yeah,
that's really sad. All right, 312-981-7200. Here's what's going on. I'm getting texts, I'm getting yelled at, we need to know about the keys. If you recall,
yes.
last weekend here on the show, I talked about how before I came down here, I accidentally dropped my work keys in a sewer outside the studio I have down here.
Mm-hmm.
And so the listeners were kind enough to call and say, here's what you do. Buy a bunch of magnets,
mm-hmm.
get some long poles, affix them to it, and go fishing.
And I did see you posted a picture during the week on Facebook. Of a pole with what looked like some magnets attached.
Sunday morning, I had it all worked out. We were headed downtown anyways because we were going to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
We stopped by and did some fishing. However, we have a guest coming up after the news.
Oh,
I'll tell you what happened.
What a tease.
At 2 a.m.
Oh.
At 2 a.m., we'll get to it. We'll get to what happened. It was very interesting. It was very interesting. So we'll talk all about that. But coming up next, we've been trying to talk to this person for a little while, and she was finally available. Florence Ann Romano is known as the Windy City Nanny. Have you heard of Fortnite, Roger?
Isn't that a game?
Oh, my God.
It's an online game.
It's taken over people's
yeah,
lives.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's insane. Yes, it's a game. And
horribly addictive from what I understand.
Terribly addictive, and the kids love to play it. We're going to talk. Florence is the Windy City Nanny. We're going to talk to her about Fortnite and your kids and your grandkids and how much is too much and how much is okay and just part of the life that they're growing up in. So we'll talk about that after we do the news next, 720 WGN. A little bit after 1:30 in the morning. Let's check some news headlines, Mr. Badish. Morning, everybody. Matt Babala here with you. 720 WGN. We're live from the Allstate Skyline Studio. Joining us on the phone right now is Florence Ann Romano. She is the Windy City Nanny. You can find her at windycitynanny.com. Hey, Florence, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks so much for jumping on the phone with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You had a book out a couple of years ago called Nanny and Me. This is a really neat idea. It's an illustrated book for kids to get used to the idea that it's not just going to be mom and dad anymore, but there's going to be a nanny and somebody else helping take care of them. As a nanny, did you find that was a rough transition when you were nannying, that kids who had mom and dad around all the time and suddenly had a nanny, was that, I guess I've never really thought about that, the adjustment period that there would be there.
It's exactly why I wrote the book. I saw firsthand how difficult that transition can be, and the children really ask themselves questions you would never even imagine. They compare themselves to other kids at school, and they wonder, hey, you know, does mom or dad not really love me? I mean, my mm-hmm. friend's moms and dad stay home with them, and mine doesn't, and they start to really question what's going on at home. And so I wanted to write a book that helped them through the transition and was told from the child's perspective so they could relate to the character, and also give a tool to the parents and the nanny during that transition to say, hey, this is something we're going to read together, and we're going to learn about this transition together.
That's really neat. And I imagine that that helps a lot of kids. Is that still available if people search online right now, if they're going to go through that? Can they still get the book?
Yes. Sure can. You could, you know, buy at Barnes & Noble, any place like that. Amazon, I hear you can get it next day or even same day sometimes, so that's awesome. But you sure can. Go and find it anywhere. You can go to my website, too, WindyCityNanny.com, and it's available there.
All right, perfect. So we want to talk a little bit about Fortnite because, let's face it, mm-hmm. for the young children these days, and I have three 13-year-olds at home, and they drive me a little insane with the idea of the Fortnite. And it's fine that it's funny. I had avoided letting them play any games, any shooting games their whole lives. And then when this came out and they're kind of like, you know, they're 13. So I'm like, all right, it's fine. But I can't believe what an addiction it has become for so many kids. And, you know, we generally don't, what I do every Sunday night is I unplug the PS4 and I hide the cord. And then on Friday, I'll plug it back in as long as everything's, you know, copacetic in the house. And then over the weekend, they can play it, you know, a lot, quite honestly, probably more than I'd like, but they do. And, but they have friends who literally every weekday home from school are playing it for 4 or 5 hours. And it's insane to me mm-hmm. how much we've let this mm-hmm. overtake. How much of a problem do you think that is if we're letting our kids have so much screen time like that?
I think it's typical that today's children, and definitely running the gamut of age-wise here, are spending too much time on technology. Now, I am definitely not a person that's ever going to condemn technology. I think everything in moderation, you know, that old saying is totally true. But the issue with technology today and how children are utilizing it, whether it's tablet or whether it's a video game like you're talking about, is it's affecting the communication level of the children and the cognitive development of the children, especially when they're young. And so it is up to the parents, it is up to the caretakers to be limiting that technology time. And I understand that this world today, it's difficult to, you know, constantly be censoring your children. But it's also important and imperative that parents and caretakers do that so that children have the chance to get kind of old school and they socialize and they're spending time doing other things than just plugged into technology. And we're really doing them a disservice if we're not touting the fact that there are other ways to spend your time. But here's the issue. We as adults are addicted to technology ourselves. Yeah. I mean, how often are we scrolling on our iPhones or on our tablets as adults? How can we tell our children not to be doing it when we're addicted to technology? So we can't really be talking out of both sides of our mouths. You have to be talking the talk, walking the walk sort of situation.
Well, I don't play games on my phone, but I do check Twitter and Facebook and news sites way too often, more often mm-hmm. than I should. My kids see me doing that all the time. So it is hard mm-hmm. for me to, you know, lay down the law. But do I get a little, if we're not playing games, can we use that? Well, I'm not using it for games. I'm educating myself. I'm staying in touch with the world. Or is that not really fly?
I mean, really, you can rationalize it any sort of way. I mean, I do it too. I get that update. And how that update on the phone like tells you now how often you were on your phone. I don't even know how that update happens, but now I'm upset because it tells me the percentage and I get mad at my phone. I'm like, what are you doing? It's telling me what I'm doing, telling me I shouldn't be on my phone. You know, but it's kind of a sobering thought or a sobering, you know, sobering data to see. And you wonder, and I grew up kind of with a privilege where I kind of straddled both the analog and digital days. So I've seen that change. You know, I tell children all the time I used to write research papers without, you know, having to, you know, use a computer or do any research on Google or anything. And I was like, oh my gosh, how old are you? You're so ancient. How can you even be talking? You know, I mean, I've seen the transition. But the truth is, like I said, everything in moderation. It's not bad for children to be having fun and using an outlet like that. But anything that becomes addictive, anything that is too extreme is not going to be good for you. It's as simple as that.
Do you think with kids you've seen when you've been nannying and the kids that you've seen growing up these days, do you think they're going to have issues as adults? Both because maybe, I mean, listen, when I was a kid and the Atari came out and stuff like that, we spent hours and hours doing that, or before that, kids going to arcades and stuff. But we, the better these games get, the more time we spend playing them, the less time we spend not only outside, but just interacting with other people. And now the kids have the headsets, which I don't like the idea of, because I know that other parenting experts I've talked to worry about bullying and all sorts of crazy stuff that goes on with the headsets and the video games. But they don't seem to be, and even just with the phones and texting and Snapchat, the interaction, the face-to-face interaction, or even just calling each other, you know, when we were kids, we called each other on the phone, and that was such a cool big deal. And now kids don't talk to each other on the phone. You call your kids, they do not want to answer. Like, why the hell are you calling me? Why aren't you sending me a text?
Can I just tell you, as a single girl, I have never received a phone call, I think, from a guy ever asking me on a date or even calling me to talk to me. It's all via text message now, and you've lost all of those social skills. So you're right. We are doing our kids a disservice as they grow up, where they're not forced to learn how to communicate in an old-fashioned way. And that's so sad that we have to call it an old-fashioned way. But here's the challenge I have for children is they're not always going to be kids. They're going to have to grow up, and they're going to have to go into the workforce. They're going to have careers. They're going to have to learn how to talk to people. They're going to have to be in front of people. They may have to give presentations. They have to network. They have to do all of these things. And if we're not exposing them from a young age to learn how to even talk to adults, we really are going to see a problem, and not just going to see it. I am seeing it now, where children are growing up without that level of respect that we used to have for adults or for people that were, bosses or in a position of power or whatever it might be. It is starting to be very evident from the kind of this new generation, and even millennials, I have to say, we're seeing a difference in how they interact, how they are with society today. So it's only going to get worse, because technology is only going to get better and better and more addictive. There's going to be something else that's going to be just like Fortnite one day that is going to be the new thing that everyone's into, and it's going to be, you know, an obsession. So it's about setting those values and those parameters in your family always as a consistent thing for the duration of you raising your children, that this is just how we do things in our household, so that you're raising them with the values and the intentions that are only going to help them as they get older.
Well, and that's part of the problem too, isn't it, Florence, that, you know, we hear so many stories, and I have two different friends who are bosses at different companies. And they have talked to me about kids who they're hiring or talking about hiring, who either come to the interviews with their parents, or once they've been hired and, like, you know, after they've been there a year or whatever, and they get their raise, cost of living raise, whatever it is, get a call from a parent saying, well, you know, so-and-so should really be, and the parents are stepping in. I mean, we joke about helicopter parents, but I think I worry that not only are we letting our kids not learn social skills as young adults that they need to when they get in the real world, but then we're continuing to take on these things for them and protect them in ways that aren't helping them at all.
Well, there's a big coddling issue here. I mean, and like you said, the helicopter parents, but it's more than just that. It's this dirty word, this F word that no one wants to use, and it's not the word that you think it is. The word I'm referring to is failure. God forbid our children fail now. And oh my gosh, it drives me crazy, makes my skin crawl thinking how bad that is as a result for these children, because the real world hurts. The real world is not fair. Yeah. And when you pad the walls for your kid growing up, they get to the real world and the air hurts, and they think everyone is against them and they deserve everything. It's ours, this entitlement issue. So we're raising a very interesting, you know, breed of young adults here, and it's not good for them, because not everybody is going to live by those rules that you had in your home. But that's the case no matter what. You know, you can't expect that the world is going to be raised the exact way you were.
Right.
But the problem is we're starting to find that this way of raising these millennial children is starting to be the standard. And that's what I take issue with, is that's not how it should be.
Boy, don't you and I sound like a couple of crotchety old people just headed for the home, just screaming, get off my lawn at everybody that walks by.
Can I tell you something, though? I am 33 years old. I am not ashamed
You're really
to say
young.
It.
You're really young.
I, Right, but I'm considered an old millennial. So, I mean, I tout this stuff, and people are like, you know, you're a disgrace to your own kind. And I'm like, no, you
are. You've turned on your people. That's funny. All right, so let me ask you then, Florence, before we go, let's give some tips. So if parents see themselves falling into this trap and they worried about their kids heading off to high school and college and how are they going to socialize and are they going to know how to do these things, what advice do you give to people? What steps should they take to try to be better about it? Because like you said, we worry about it, but we've fallen into it too, even as adults. I'm a Gen Xer, so I'm older than you, but I use the phone all the time. I do all these things. But at the same time, I definitely want to not set my kids up to, we want them to fail now and to learn to interact with each other and do all these things so that they're not afraid to fail when they get older. So what should we be doing differently?
Right. I think it's not a bad idea to get a little old school. And I go back to this with the idea of maybe going back to having family dinners where you're actually talking at the table. Maybe it's not even for an hour. Maybe it's 20 minutes, but you're sitting down and you all put your phones in a drawer and you're actually talking to each other. It's starting small. I mean, I'm not asking to reinvent the wheel here with families because I understand how busy and how overextended families are and the extracurriculars children are a part of are insane. But it's just having technology hours in your home. If you're able to do that, I think that's a fantastic way of starting. It also then leads to control for you, the parent, and also the nannies and caretakers who are an extension of the values in your home. It's just making sure that there are standards and house rules, and you get to decide what those are. But if children know what the boundaries are, they're more likely going to respect it, and they may kick and scream if you start doing this now, and it's okay. They'll get over it. That's my advice to you. But you're doing them a favor if you're going to start doing something like that in your home. And it's only going to help them when they get older to know that there was structure in their lives. You know, you don't let your kids run it. You know, you're the parent. You're the caretaker. You need to take control. So start small. Just start implementing technology hours and start walking the walk as the parent too, where you give them your attention when you're talking to them. You're not scrolling on Facebook while you're talking to them. You're actually looking at them and having a conversation.
What about the concept of failure? Where have you seen parents go wrong with trying to overprotect their kids and trying to always tell them, you know, it's not a big deal? Well, I guess it's not a big deal, because that's what we'd want to say when you fail is, hey, it's not a big deal. You're going to fail. You tried. You changed things, whatever. What do parents tend to do that make you worried about kids not learning that it's okay to fail at things?
Well, I'm seeing it in the school system where, you know, we used to live in a world where, you know, teachers were respected, you know, where parents didn't get so involved. They went to the parents' fair. They did get involved, but they went to parent-teacher conferences, and they believed the teacher, and they were on the same side as the teacher. Now I feel that they're on opposite sides, and more likely that the parents are going to be taking the side of their child and against the teacher. And there are times when that should happen. Believe me, when I was younger, a teacher called me stupid, so my mom had to get involved. And believe me, she should have gotten involved in that case. But we also need to be teaching our children that their educators are to be respected. And if there's a problem, there's a way to deal with that, and they need to see a constructive way of dealing with that instead of attacking. It's incredible what children pick up. You know, they're like sponges, as they say, and they are absorbing everything they're seeing around them regarding your behavior. And you're also seeing it from a competitive level. Now we're giving awards to every single child for every single thing because, God forbid, they don't feel special. And, you know, that's not the way to do it, because life is a competition, and they have to learn to get up and dust off and do it again and fail and all those things, and they can't be afraid of it. And you, as a parent, can't make them think that failure is bad or that it equates them with being unworthy or weak or anything like that. They need to learn that is going to be a gift in their life to learn lessons. So it's up to you, as being a proactive parent or a nanny or caretaker, whoever it is, influencing the child to let them know that this is how life goes and you learn from it.
Yeah. I think it's also important that we be open about our own failures. You know, that we don't make our kids think that we never failed anything. I often tell my own kids, or if I ever speak to students, you know, I've been fired from 3 different jobs in my life. And, you know, that's okay. That were terrible times when they happened. They were very rough, but you learn things from that. You move on, you know, as a business owner, whatever, everything is got the possibility of failure. And if you're so afraid of failure, you'll never take a risk. You'll never know the joys of the true successes.
Beautifully said. I mean, transparency is key, and you've really hit on something important and something I believe to be true in the relationship of, you know, parent and child, is you do need to talk about the things that happened in your life, but that transparency promotes trust. And you want your children to have a relationship with you where they can talk to you about anything. And this is a fine line between them being, you know, your friend when they're younger, when they need a parent, not a friend. You know, eventually they can become your friend, but there's that foundation. And, you know, there are so many temptations and so many issues in this world today, like you mentioned, the bullying, things where these children really do need a safe place to land. And the first place they should go is their parents or their family or whomever it is in their life that is their safe place. So do promote that idea of transparency to help them feel not so alone and a place for them to lean on. And that takes time. That takes work. It doesn't just happen overnight that you have a relationship like that with your child or your children. So make a point to do that.
She is the Windy City Nanny. You can find her at windycitynanny.com. Florence Ann Romano, she has a book called Nanny and Me. If you know anybody who's going to be using a nanny or a kid who's getting used to that, this might be a great book for them to talk to their kids about it. Nanny and Me, you can find it online and in bookstores. And Florence, I need to congratulate you. We just got through the holiday season. I was thinking about this before we started talking. Kind of a rough, you know, nannies get a bad name in movies and things like that, right? I'm trying to think about the positive spin. I'm thinking of The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. I'm thinking of Fran Drescher. There's not a great, you know, even at least Babysitters had the Elizabeth Shue Adventures in Babysitting movie, which was kind of cute. But there's no good positive nanny role models out there in popular culture.
Well, thank you for mentioning it. I'd like to think that I'm trying to right that that situation. You know, nannies do get a bad rap, but, you know, the truth is over 60% of families in America have a nanny. So you see, you know, these magazines splashed with all of this salacious gossip about, you know, who's cheating with the nanny this week.
And the celebrities are ruining it for everybody.
True.
Yeah, the celebrities are ruining it for everybody, right?
Yes.
Damn that Ben Affleck.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, I look at it all the time and I think, oh, God, the world thinks this is what's going on. So, you know, and it's not the case. You know, these are people that really love your children and you can trust around your spouse, you know, but I'm not saying that it doesn't happen either. So let's also be, you know, careful and aware of that. But at the same time, you know, a nanny and a caretaker is a really important part of a child's life. And it's such a different world today regarding how nannies are utilized in a family. So paying attention to that is really important.
Well, and it's just such a necessary thing because we live in this, you know, two income culture. It's not going to get, we're never going to go back to the, you know, the 40s where one spouse is generally working and one spouse can stay home. It's just not the economy we live in, right? So I would think that the nanny profession is just going to grow and grow.
Yeah, it's not a trend. I mean, this is a part of our culture now. And you also have to think about the way the world has changed in terms of the dynamics of the family. It's not traditional anymore. So, you know, you're seeing single moms and single dads and gay parents and parents that have decided to, you know, have children on their own, you know, without a spouse, you know, moms and dads who decide to do it on their own.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's all changed. And you have to think these families, whatever form they are in, have to have help raising these children. So we're writing that statistic right now as to whether or not it's going to be a positive or negative thing that we have other people helping influence our children. And I believe it is a good thing. I believe it is positive and wonderful, but it comes down to who you're picking to do that. So that's my platform regarding childcare in the new millennium.
WindyCityNanny.com for more information. Florence Ann Romano, we'll talk again. Thank you so much for being on the phone with us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Have a great night and a great weekend. All right, we've got news coming up next, 720 WGN. Roger, you remember Kevin Richter? He was one of my original producers, and he went on to produce Bill and Wendy for a long time. He lives out in L.A. now.
Oh.
I was texting with him earlier tonight to see if these fires are causing him any problems. He didn't realize quite where the fires were.
What?
He's full on in Angeleno now. He doesn't know what the hell's going on. We'll see if he's awake and sober. Maybe we'll chat with him for a couple minutes here and see how they're doing. And then our friend Wally, our world traveler Wally, is going to check in.
Good.
He has been just sent him a cool little WGN Radio Mapubala show piece of paper.
Oh.
And he's taking pictures in cool different places now and sending them to us. He's spreading the word about our show across the globe.
That's fantastic.
Which is kind of cool. At 4 o'clock this morning, our friend Chris Gebhardt from space.com is going to jump on the phone. Did you see the story about the weird piece of rock that's flying through?
Yeah, it's not a piece of rock. It's like a cigar shape. It's long.
They're actually saying maybe that could be some sort of thing that was sent by aliens.
Yeah. It might even be an alien ship.
We got lots of stuff to talk about. Lots of stuff to do. Lots of fun to have. And we'll get to it right after the news. I'll tell you the story of what happened with the keys last weekend.
All right.
Right now, we'll say the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here's the news with Roger Badish. Matt Bubala with you, 720 WGN. Thank you very much for staying up later with us. 2:10 in the morning. Roger, texter asked, should be near a record low for this date. Do we know? Are we close to
record
a record
low for the day?
Yeah.
Let me see.
For
here.
This date,
I will
history,
find out.
Are we setting any records?
I don't think so because I was looking at my old Facebook post from a year ago.
It was colder a year ago?
It was
cold at this time a year ago.
Yeah, and there was snow actually sticking on the street and sidewalks at my place.
Well, I remember
on this date. So
today, this day now. Is the anniversary of John Williams' son getting married a year ago, actually.
Oh,
and
really?
And I went to that, and there was snow on the ground for that.
And that's what I'm saying. There was snow on the ground. Yeah. What's today? What is today?
Stunk.
December 10th. November. Man, I'm rushing things.
Wow, Rob.
I'm just in the holiday spirit.
I know the songs are on the radio now, but
yeah,
we're not going to get there yet.
I know. I told my wife about that last night, and she gave me a look.
We had quite a discussion in our house about that, too. We'll get to that in a little bit. First.
All right, so I'm looking. Chicago wakes up to record cold snow flurries. What's today's the 10th? Oh, that was a year ago. So a year ago.
We set a record for low.
18 degrees before dawn. The time, the lowest official November 10th record recorded in Chicago in 1986. So it's 18 degrees
is
the lowest for the 10th, and the wind chill a year ago got down to 5 degrees overnight.
So that doesn't mean our lowest high. That was our lowest low for the 10th was 18 degrees?
Record low,
because right now it's like 21, right?
It's 21 now.
But we're not going to hit, we're not going to
Well,
hit
we've
that
we've got heavier winds, and that's why we've still got that wind chill of about 7. Yeah, and it's only expected to, they were saying the forecast says could get down to 17 degrees. I think that's going to be further away from the lake. That might be out by you guys. Let me double check something here. Hold on a second. We're down to 19 in Homewood. Lake Geneva is already reporting -9.
-9 with wind chill.
No, -9
in Lake Geneva?
Lake Geneva.
It's not negative.
That's
nine.
What it's reporting.
It's broken.
On the National Weather Service.
It's broken like
19 degrees
side
in Beverly.
Window.
20 in Manteen. What?
I have trouble believing it's -9 in Lake Geneva.
I'm looking. All right.
Don't you? I'm just saying. I know that's what it says. But aren't you like, that sounds suspicious?
But it's along a lake.
It's a that's
and it's
not
in
like
Wisconsin.
Michigan. It's a little lake.
It's in Wisconsin. The cold front has come down there.
It's like 45
heavier.
Minutes from my
We're
house.
We're warmer
like
along the
Canada.
Lake front. Lake Michigan keeps things. It's 50 degrees in Lake Michigan. Lake Geneva, weather. How about that? Whoa. All right. So how does that happen then? Lake Geneva, Wisconsin, 19 degrees. Why does it say minus? Where are we here? -9. Boy.
I'm not buying it. Something's wrong.
Yeah, something's wrong. You know what? The thermometer, maybe they need to run the heat in the car.
They need to get the blow dryer out on the extension cord and put it on the thermostat. Get that thing going.
Winds 18 miles an hour there.
630 asked, did we ever have an Indian summer this fall? Are we allowed to say Indian summer anymore? We can still say Indian summer, can't we, or can't we not? What do we have another term for that?
Autumn?
No. Now, autumn is just fall. Another word for fall, isn't it? Indian summer was like when it had turned cold and chilly, and then suddenly it warmed back up.
Yeah, but then it warmed up, and we had
for a day or two, and that would be Indian summer.
Right. We did. Maybe for a couple of days.
Why are you giving Jess money?
Huh?
Why are you giving Jess
money? I don't know.
I paid for the pizza. What are you guys doing?
I don't know.
Don't lie to me. Do
I
have to start checking my credit card bill to make sure the pizzas are going on my credit card?
I don't know. She can't hear what you're saying, by the way.
I've got my mic on. You know why you gave her money. Why did you just
give her money? I have no idea. She just said...
Roger, if I got to get Robert Mueller in here to do a full-scale colonoscopy on you two to find out what the hell's going on.
No. Honestly,
why
she
are you
said
giving her money?
She asked if I had some cash that she could borrow. And
why?
I said yes. I don't know. She didn't tell
you
me.
You don't just hand out money like that.
She's like my wife. She doesn't tell me these things.
I'm really going to be ticked off at you too. Your money is supposed to be going into that Florida
account.
And
it is. I put an extra $200 in yesterday.
But you're not supposed to be spending money here at night. Now, you stopped buying the
candy,
which I told you to stop doing.
Right, which
I advised that.
What else did I stop? What was the other thing I stopped by?
Well, candy and pizza were the two things I told you.
No, there was something else. Oh, you know what else I'm putting in there?
No.
So remember I switched parking locations?
Yes. Are you saving some money from that?
And I'm saving a ton of money every month from that. So I'm putting that in.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
What? I have no clue why she wanted it.
By the way.
Seriously, she has not told me. Honest, cross my heart and hope
you die. I will deal with her when she gets back with the pizza.
You can deal with her.
Fine.
I have no idea what's going on.
You and Jess did just a wonderful, incredibly kind thing for me. Jess gave me, if you're watching on the stream.
You got to hold it up to the
camera out here.
Yeah, there it is. There you go. Good. All
right,
hold it right there.
This awesome black t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
That says WGN Radio on it,
mm-hmm.
and then has a cool like a city outline,
mm-hmm.
and then says the Matt Bubala Show.
That's nice.
Which is really, really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So this is it's like we have a prize closet now with what shirt?
That's for you though.
Oh, I will wear this. Believe me.
Although
it's gonna be a little weird.
Why?
Well,
you know what?
When's the last time you wore a shirt around with your own name on it?
When
like
nobody,
promoting yourself?
When you're meeting people, nobody knows who you are. And so if you're wearing that shirt...
Yes, but if I meet them and they're like, oh, the Matt Bubala Show, what's
it'll
that?
It'll save you money on business cards.
That's my show. I'm he. I am the Matt Bubala of the Matt Bubala Show.
Are you going to put your fist on the hip and just go, I'm Matt Bubala?
Oh, neat shirt. What's the Matt Bubala Show? Well, it's a show I host, and I'm wearing my own garment to let you know about it. This reminds me of when I lived in Los Angeles, and I worked in Century City, which is right outside of Beverly Hills and mm-hmm. right by a lot of, you know, celebrities.
Ooh, fancy,
I worked at
fancy.
A Brentano's, a Brentano's bookstore.
Well, they had a Crocs from Brentano's out there?
Or did they just call it
Brentano's?
It wasn't Barnes & Noble.
I just remember it was Crocs and Brentano's.
Yeah, I remember Crocs and Brentano's too, but for some reason, I think it was just Brentano's.
Okay.
But I don't know for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But tons of celebrities ended up in there.
Oh.
It was really cool. I sold books to Bruce Springsteen.
Look at you.
Barbara Streisand was in there.
Wow.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Do you think they'd still remember you? Get them on the show.
Absolutely not. However, the craziest thing I ever saw was David Hasselhoff in there looking through magazines and books wearing his Baywatch jacket.
Oh,
like the one he wore on the beach.
Oh,
he wore that one. Thing around, like the thing you'd see on the show.
Maybe
he's walking around. The Hoff is all dressed up.
Maybe he had a break from filming and he just walked over.
Would not have been that close. He's wearing it out. It's a little what I think of myself wearing my Matt Bubala Show shirt around. Hey, if it's good enough for Hasselhoff, it's good enough for us, baby.
So you wear the shirt. They said, "Who's Matt Bubala? Is that you?" And you said, "No, I'm David Hasselhoff.
I'm David Hasselhoff." Well, it is really cool, and I thank you guys for that.
No, you're very welcome.
Very awesome. Our buddy Wally, the world traveler, is going to check in later. He has just made for him this cool piece of paper that has Mapu Balashaw, and he's taking it around the world. He's sending us pictures from great places. Okay.
Is that kind of like flat something or rather?
He's like flat Wally, yes. Yeah. He's like flat Stanley.
All right, wait, hold on. You still need to hear about your...
Yes, yes. 414 just texted, where are the keys? What about the keys, man? Okay, so a quick review. Last weekend, I was telling the story. This weekend started off great. I got the one little parking spot outside this building.
Right.
Last weekend, I always stop down at Black Dog on Friday nights when I'm headed here into work. I park my car in the alley. I put on the flashers. I run upstairs, check the mail. Sometimes I have to download some audio for the other work we do, things like that. I usually spend about 10-15 minutes in there. And so last week I got down, I had my gorilla suit in the back of the car because the previous week here on the Mapu Balashaw show, Jess had made us all dress up. Roger was Mr. Potato Head, Jess was a soccer referee, and I was a gorilla because I had a gorilla suit. I was bringing that back to Black Dog. So I park my car in the alley, I turn on the flashers, I get out of the car, I grab my stuff, I go to get the gorilla suit out of the back, I got my work keys in my hand. As I turn to shut the hatchback door on our CRV, the keys fall out of my hand and, as perfectly as possible, fall right through a city sewer. Just immaculately. Didn't make sense. Just heard a bloop as it hit the water. And I was stuck. I couldn't get into work, and I didn't know what the hell to do because that's a good 4 feet down there. I could see the water. I didn't know how deep it was. I found a piece of cement in the alley. I dropped that down there to see if I heard it like hit bottom. It didn't hit bottom. It just went bloop. So I was like, oh, man. And so we talked about it here last week on the show.
At length.
And the listeners were great, giving advice and talking about different things you could do. And one listener said, hey, here's what you do. Get a bunch of strong magnets at Menards or Home Depot. I ended up buying them at Lowe's. And then get some wood. He said lathe wood. I don't know what that is. I walked around.
A piece of lathe. It's like a strip of wood.
But what's it for? Is it like for like the...
It's just thin. That's all. It's just long and thin.
Is it flat?
Yeah, some are flat, yeah.
But is it used like with your floorboards? I mean, what is it?
Sometimes it's used to fill in gaps of wood, you know, like a spacing.
Okay.
Sometimes it could be at the bottom where the... wall and the floor come together. It's got a lot of different uses.
Okay. So I don't know particularly what I found, but I was in the, I was at Lowe's and I was in the section where they have a lot of the, like, they had different spindles, like for your posts outdoors or indoors and different stuff for decking and, you know, railings and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And within there, I found these round wooden, almost like dowels, I guess you would call them.
And fairly long.
Yeah, I found ones that were like, I want to say they were at least 6 feet long and maybe 7 feet long. And they were like $2.50 each, $2. I mean, they were cheap. So it was great. And they're nice and thin. So I bought two of them just in case it turned out to be really deep. And the next morning before we left for Indiana, I got out the magnets and they had holes in them, which was great. And they were strong. And I took some wire. I have some like conduit wire, and I strung that through them and wrapped it around real tight and tried to separate out the magnets so they kind of made a circle.
Yeah, I saw that you took a good picture of it.
I took a picture of it. I put it online.
That was weird. I never expected to see the magnets square like that.
Yeah, it was cool. I bought two little packs, also just like $2.37 a pack.
And those
cheap.
Were the ones they talked to us about on the show last week, that they're strong?
They were strong. Like, it was tough to separate the four magnets.
Okay.
As I'm wrapping them up, like the first time he gives me a shoestring, he's like, why don't you try a shoestring? I'm like, okay, and that'll wrap around a little easier on this wood because I had some wiring I was using. And so I try that, but then those things are snapping together like crazy. It's hard.
Oh,
and I wanted to kind of keep them separated around.
Yeah, yeah.
It took me about half an hour to get it down, but I got them wrapped around real good. I had some hockey tape. I taped down the wire because I didn't want them accidentally to slide off once I got them down in the water and stuff. And so we got them, you know, real set, and we brought both poles because I figured if it's too deep, then I'll tape the other pole on, and then I'll have more leeway.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get down there, and of course it was raining like you predicted it would be. So the triplets got out. I still haven't made the video of it yet. I will try to get some video online, but triplets with their phones, and Anna's holding an umbrella, and we're sitting out there.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
So I put the first pole in, and I start sliding down, and it hits the water, and I reach all the way down, and it still hasn't hit bottom.
Oh, no.
So we pull it back out. I get the second pole. I hacky tape it together. I get that pole. And so now we got a good 12-foot of pole going down before it's hitting bottom.
Wow.
And the bottom is not cement. It's probably a bunch of leaves and
just
silt
junk.
And God knows what else.
Yeah.
It's very mushy, whatever I'm hitting.
Gosh.
So maybe I hit the keys at some point. I don't, you know, now a listener did point out that keys are brass.
Yeah.
And they don't stick to the magnets. It's the ring that you're counting on. And I did test it out at home. I took another key ring out, put it on the floor, and kind of held this around. And the key ring would connect to them pretty good.
Okay.
But within all that water and within all the leaves and all the other gunk that was in there, and how far down that pole was, you know, like if I'm holding a pencil and I'm touching something, I can really feel with my hand what it's touching.
Mm-hmm.
But when you've got 12 foot of very flimsy pole, I don't know if anything ever connected to it. Nothing ever came up.
Oh, no.
Nothing ever fished out of it. So whether I hit it or not, I do not know. There was no joy in Mudville that day. The keys did not come out. Now, in that alley, there's a huge dumpster, like a trash compactor dumpster.
Okay.
And there's a little room behind that. So I just slid the pole behind it. Because, I wasn't going to put that stinky-ass thing back in the car, because it was gross. I don't know what's in that sewer, but it did not smell great.
Plus, it's like 12 feet long now, and you don't want to break
it
again.
I'm not putting that back in. It's got 8 feet up, there's water and everything all over it. So I just laid it behind there, and it's still there a week later. And so I'm kind of waiting to see if we get a real dry spell. Every time I was down at work this week, I looked down there, and there's still water, and I don't know if there's ever a point.
I think there's always going to be water there because it's not angled. The pipes down there, I don't think, are angled at a degree where it's going to completely drain.
You don't think there's ever a point like if it's been really dry for a while?
Well, if it was
subsides
80 degrees out, sure.
Yeah.
It would suck up the moisture.
In the summer, so maybe it's just never going to happen. I don't know. So,
but the only problem is if there's a rush of water, like a flood of water going into that drain, they will wash out.
Well, I don't know if they will because there's so much water and that bottom is so mucky. They could maybe sit on that for a decent amount of time, I guess, yes, if the water really flushed out, but there's a lot of stuff in there. I mean, there's not a heavy flush that's coming in that thing if there's that much stuff, because there aren't that many trees. It's in the city. There's trees nearby and stuff, but not that are filling that thing up with leaves like that. I mean, there's a lot of stuff down there. So that thing is not, Texter just said, it'll freeze soon. Well, they will.
Well, then it won't go anywhere.
That way.
Yeah.
So I called the property manager.
Oh.
No, I'm not calling the city. I called the property manager and I told them, I need a new, because we have post office boxes like within the
little
building.
Keys.
And I don't, I had spare keys to the studio and everything, so I was fine there, but I didn't have a key for that. So I called them. They came out and made keys. I don't know what they're charging me for that. And then my parking garage.
Your fob.
I had to get a new fob. And it's funny, my buddy that I work with, Jim, I'm like, guess how much that costs? He's like, $250. I'm like, oh, my God, $250.
Wow.
I parked somewhere else. It was $25, which isn't that, it's not that bad. But I couldn't believe he thought $250. Like, wow, you have a real jaded sense of the world here that we live in downtown, don't you, man? $250, you're telling me on that thing. Yeah, so $25. So it all worked out. I'm fine. I got it all back within a day or two, but I'm still going to try to get those keys. As long as nobody throws away my pole. Now, 847 says, can't you just call Streets and Sanitation and ask them if they can help you? I guess I could, but I feel bad calling saying, hey, I was dumb enough to drop my keys in a sewer, and there's about 4 foot of water and a pile of muck that you wouldn't believe. Would you mind coming out and taking a look? I can't imagine
they're
going, sure.
No.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
I think they're
going to say, well, you know, hold your keys next time. Like the listener texted last week. Keep your keys in your pocket, man.
No, Streets and Sand will not come out to open up a grating and then go down and try to sift through all that stuff to find it. No, that's city tax dollars at work.
Yeah, I almost feel bad, like, you know, doing that, because that is a waste of taxpayer money.
No, they're not going to do it. If they do it for you, they got to
do it for everybody. So that's the story.
I'm sorry,
the keys never made their way home. Hey, we had fun with it on the radio.
Good.
It was a story to tell, and it's probably going to cost me $50 or so. It's not the worst. It's not the end of the world.
Nah.
So there's
but still,
that. Yeah.
So and I now you learned keys. A little bit about science,
and when,
too.
And when I got there tonight, man, I tell you what, I put those keys in my pocket and I zipped it right up. Mary's on 720 WGN. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. I was listening to your dilemma, and I would call, don't, you know, bother with having somebody from Streets and Sand come out, but call Streets and Sand and ask them, how would you handle this? And then after you retrieve your keys, go to the hardware store where they make keys and get one of those little hooks that goes on your belt loop.
Remember, I suggested the belt loop thing a couple of weeks back when you were talking about this. My keys are on my belt loop.
I don't see myself walking around with
my
keys on
my belt loop, too.
Oh, you can see that, huh?
Yeah. Oh,
somebody texted and said, tell them there's a puppy down there. Wait, where's the puppy? Oh, I'm sorry. I meant my keys. I meant my keys are down there.
Why would you need a magnet for a puppy?
Because he's got a collar on. You'll hook him by the collar. Bring him right out.
He'll be choking.
Oh, no. He'll be fine, Mary. He survived in the sewer all this time.
Hey, it's Christmas time. Get a 24-pack. Could you guys help me out? Done.
Oh, you have a little something for them is what you're saying.
Oh,
yeah.
It is the city of Chicago. Yeah,
that's the way to do it. Mary, thank you so much for the call. Real quick before news, Glenn's on 720. Hey, Glenn, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
We're doing great. What's your title?
I'm gonna title this Lost Keys 2.0.
Yes, sir.
You know, instead of getting a longer piece of stick. Once you get some of their heavy-duty cording, like about 10 feet of it, and tie the magnets to that, then at least then you can move, you know, you could tie that to the stick. You can, you know, switch it around on the bottom.
If
10 feet isn't long enough, then there's something, then they're gone.
Well, no, so once I did the second pole, I reached the bottom. It was fine. I reached the bottom, and I scraped them around, but there is so much muck down there that there was nothing, you know, I couldn't tell what it was feeling. It was moving around. It's either leaves or dirt or garbage or whatever. So there was no way to know.
Well, it's just an idea.
No. You know, yeah, I appreciate it.
Some new keys.
Yeah.
Hey, no problem.
We did that.
I can go back to my original suggestion last week. You know, three friends and a 12-pack of beer. you can get two of them to hold the other one's ankles.
God. Yeah. I don't know who wants to volunteer for that. I don't know if I have enough beer to pay that off. Although my son, Michael, who's the skinny one, when I'm telling him this story last week, Michael goes, if you tell me you're going to hang me down by my ankles and make me go get those things. He right away assumed this is what Dad's doing to him. 312-981-7200.
I got an idea.
Oh, okay.
So if you can Jimmy the Great off,
right?
You know what you get? You get one of the swimming pool cleaning nets. It's got a long pole.
I can't imagine. Yeah, I could do
that. And you could put the net down, the water goes through it, and it'll pick up stuff.
I think I'd throw up so much by what would come up from there, because just bringing that stick back up was grossing us out and making me gag.
You'd still have to sift through whatever.
Guys, I bought new keys. May they rest in peace. If that thing dries out, I'll take another look. But other than that, they're swimming with the fishes. Hey, it's 2:32 in the morning. Why don't we do some news, Roger Battish?
Sounds good.
Matt Bavala with you, 720 WGN. Thank you for the news, Roger Battish. 312-981-7200. If you'd like to jump in, Roger, the Papanino's pizza is here.
Ooh. Well,
right? That's who we get it from, right? Is it Papanino's?
Papanino's.
Yeah. Okay.
I will be popping in to get some Papanino's.
How much money did you give Jess?
I gave her enough to take care of whatever business she
had
to take care of.
How much was that, Roger?
I don't know.
Pulled it out of your wallet and looked at it. What kind of newsman are you that you don't even know? Just answer the question.
But then she came back and said, here's your money back. And she gave me, she stuck a bunch of bills in my hand.
Jess, turn on your microphone, please.
Yes, Matt Bubala.
How much money did you take from Roger and how much did you give back to him?
I'm not telling you.
Why are you not telling me?
It's a conspiracy.
You don't have secrets on this show.
I think she said she took some money that she had to give for a tip. And I'm not sure how much she tipped him.
Correct, Roger. Thank you.
You're welcome. But she did give back quite a bit of
more than
what
you gave? You made a profit on this?
What is this, a broken vending machine?
I just wonder, trying to figure out what kind of pyramid scheme you two got going on when I'm not around.
The rest of it is funding your new keys.
Yes.
No. That's my problem.
We're gonna buy you an engraved key ring.
You know what?
You can key and a hook for the. Wait a minute. You can see the picture, right? You've never seen my. I can't even. It's too far away.
I'm gonna get a chain.
This
that
is
goes
a
across
hook.
And holds on to him.
This is a hook. Like it's got a.
Sure.
Okay, and I hook it onto my belt loop.
Have that on the leash for the dog.
Okay, there you go. And that's where I've got it. It hooks. I don't have the long snapback spring thing.
So do you walk around jingling everywhere you walk?
I do.
See, I don't want to do that.
What?
I'm not ready to start jingling. I'm not at that point just yet.
How many keys do you have to jingle? How big are they? If they're not that big, they're not going to jingle.
I only have like four on there. I had like six or seven on the old one. I don't even know what some of them were for, quite honestly.
They're
you know,
that
the keys
old.
Pile up.
I have a whole drawer at home filled with
on.
Keys.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I have
so
no idea what they are.
Yes, I agree with that.
We've also started a backpack collection, too.
He just keeps buying me backpacks. Stop with the backpacks. Thank you.
I didn't know you had a...
My old backpack got chewed up by Bailey, our
okay.
dog.
Okay.
And I kept walking in with this, holding it by a string, and suggested that man. So she brings me a woman's backpack 2 weeks ago. And says, I hope you like it. I say, it's adorable.
It was not a woman's backpack.
It was clearly a woman's
it
backpack.
It said unisex on the tag, okay?
I'm sure it did, but it was a woman's backpack. And so Anna really thought it was cute. And so that's for her. And so I got a new backpack, and now Jess has another backpack. And quite honestly, Jess, I love you. You know I do. And I love everything you do for me. But this is a used backpack. There's like pen marks on it and stuff. Whose backpack are you giving me this week? Is this like Stefan's old backpack?
Is this an overnight bag?
It's clear like she's trying to pass off, like, oh, I got you a new backpack. And I'm like, this is used. This isn't new at all.
That's hilarious.
So I don't know what's going on.
We got to take care of you because you're having trouble taking care of yourself.
Clearly. Clearly. I know. It's becoming a problem, Roger.
Oh, man. What are we going to do with you?
That, sir, I do not know. Good morning, David from Alsip. He's checking in, saying hi. 312-981-7200 is the text line. It's also the call-in line. Went and saw A Star Is Born this week.
Oh, the remake of the remake of the remake of the original?
Of the original, right?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I read that. I read an article in the Tribune about how this is sort of like the fourth different mm-hmm. telling of the story. I believe three of them have been A Star Is Born, but the original one was like a different... They sort of changed the story to something else here. I don't quite know the history
over
of it,
time.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So... So I had never seen the I guess the most
any
recent famous one would be Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand,
right?
Mm-hmm. Never saw that one.
Okay.
But I was very excited because I love Lady Gaga, and I think Bradley Cooper is really good in everything I've seen him in generally. So I was excited to see this, and I thought it was really good.
Okay.
It sometimes jumps a little quickly, like you got to really suspend some disbelief on some things, but...
Mm-hmm.
But they're both really good. She is a very good actress.
And oh, really?
She has this incredible voice. I mean, incredible
voice.
Yeah,
that we know.
But she was really good in this. Mm-hmm. Andrew Dice Clay is in this movie.
That's what I heard.
And he's been in stuff over the years recently, you know, where he's not necessarily the character he was as a comedian.
Right.
He is really good in this. In a very small role, but really good. Sam Elliott, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's always good in things.
Oh, yeah.
He's got that voice.
Yeah.
And he's good. And then Bradley Cooper is really good in this.
Okay.
Although I think he's imitating Sam Elliott's voice.
Didn't he direct this?
He directed this, too, yes. And it's well-directed, and it's well-acted. And I gotta say, he's a ridiculously good-looking man.
Well, he's young.
He's not that young. He's got to be in his mid-30s, I would think.
Well,
but he's
that's
like,
young to me.
Sure. But he's like really, really good looking. Like, I was actually sitting there thinking, my God, he's good looking.
Do you have a dude crush?
I think I got a bro crush on him, yes.
All right.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
You know, John Williams and Lou used to say this. Lou's very very secure in himself, I guess, because he would say men who he would flip for.
Uh-huh.
And I've never thought this or wanted to really think about that, but I guess it would be Bradley Cooper. If I had, because he looks good in this. Very rugged, manly, and
looks like a dude.
Yeah, really. He pulls it off. Yeah, he's a good actor, and so the movie was definitely worth seeing. I really want to see Bohemian Rhapsody, but the reviews have been so all over the place.
Yeah.
A lot of people really negative. I know Dean gave it a great review on Steve Cochran's show, but a lot of other people are kind of sour on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to do about that one.
Yeah. I'm glad I'm not a movie critic. Because one, I don't like going to movie theaters anymore. I can't take the crowds. Yeah, I can't.
Well, it depends on when you go.
Well, but I just, the movie going experience, I'm past that.
See,
I don't
really
know why.
I really love going to the movies now.
I will wait for things to come out on Amazon. But also, it's my opinion. Nobody in the world gives a hoot about my opinion. Seriously. And no matter what you say your opinion is of what you think the movie is, how good or bad or indifferent, half the world's going to attack you. And I'm like, I don't need that. The guys who do, Nick and Dean, these guys who do the movie reviews, God bless them. I give them all credit to be able to do something that you're going to tick off half of the population.
Well, Nick does not care.
I know he doesn't.
Nick is the only movie reviewer I know who is in attack mode at all times.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Nick, to me... And maybe this is unfair. Nick either loves a movie. I mean, Nick is never like, yeah, I was unsure about it. He just either loves it to death, or God help the people that made that movie, Nick's going to kill them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
There is
you're
no
right.
in between for Nick.
You're right.
It's either all in or all out.
Yeah.
And what I understand what you're saying, that, you know, why do people care what I think? But if people get to know you on the radio and like your opinion on things, I mean, that's why. I mean, because it's interesting with critics. There's certain ones that I think you learn he didn't like it. He doesn't like anything. Or what he doesn't like, I tend to like. You know
I see what you're saying.
You could say, oh, Michael Phillips really hated that movie. Yeah, but you know what? Michael Phillips hated this other movie that I really love. So I don't, you know, that doesn't matter to me. But this person for Entertainment Weekly or this person at the time or whatever, I think you got to learn, you know, with the Richard Ropers and Michael Phillips and everybody else to decide how do they play into your sensibilities.
Yeah.
So you can kind of take it with a grain of salt or, yeah, that person really, I think the same way they do. You know, you can kind of just figure out who they are and whether you like them or not as far as that.
I'll watch, this is how I make a recommendation.
Okay.
I'll watch the trailer.
Trailers can be so deceiving.
I know that, but I'll watch a trailer and... I'm sure I have a list of qualifiers that I put into play as I watch the trailer to determine whether or not I think this is something worth spending my money to go watch.
Okay.
Or to even recommend to Bridget, like, hey, you want to go out to a movie? I hear so-and-so is good. And then she'll say, well, I heard that so-and-so is good.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll negotiate.
Sure.
Because I don't need to go see Lassie Saves the Entire Country movie. You know, I know what Lassie does, you know.
My business partner, Jim, he and his wife bet on things all the time. They'll bet on Dancing with the Stars.
On
Celebrity Apprentice.
Like
all these shows. And they always have bets. And the payoff for their bets is who gets to choose the next movie.
Ooh, that's kind of
so, like,
cool.
She might get stuck going to a terrible horror movie that she really doesn't want to see, and that you know,
and she goes.
He enjoys that, doing that to her.
Oh.
Or he might be stuck at some romantic comedy that he has no interest in. So they take their betting very seriously.
Well, I'm very surprised. Long time ago, I told her, I says, I want to go see one of these Marvel movies.
Right.
And she was not a comic book person, and she doesn't like that kind of stuff. But she agreed to go with me. And I'll be a son of a gun, but at the end of the movie, she says, I like that.
Oh, good. See?
And she has pretty much gone with me to most of these superhero
movies. A lot of them I've waited until they come out on Amazon,
mm-hmm.
you know, for rental.
Sure.
Because you can get them for way less than you spend in the movie theater.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you know, I can get a one of the top movies for $5, and I can pause it. And
I don't know if it's the same down here in the city, but out by us, Tuesdays, both at the AMC and I think the Cinemark, are $5 Tuesdays.
Oh, nice.
You should check out if by you.
Well, again, Tuesday is rough for us because I'm watching the grandkids. So my day is shot from about 1 o'clock till about 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because I know Nick, at the beginning of every month, he's got his movie club, and I've always tried to go to it. He's got a great one coming up, Burt Reynolds. The longest yard,
yeah.
Which is a fantastic movie.
Yeah.
But by the time our daughter gets back home, it's the movie's already started for me.
Yeah.
You know, and by the time I get out there and I need to get something to eat and it's rough for me on Tuesdays. But Bridget and I will watch stuff now later at night, mm-hmm. like at about 9 o'clock, we'll start watching something.
Yeah.
And we're hooked on this. The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Yes.
Oh, my God. We can't get enough of
now,
that.
We're
still on the beginning, the first season.
And is there a second season that's already available
on
Amazon?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Yeah. Right, we're going to have to try that soon. We're wrapping up Making a Murderer, the second season. I'll tell you what, Roger. I want you to watch it because I want to talk about
this.
Man, that is interesting. Interesting.
I don't know if she'll... She likes crime stuff, crime drama.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Law and Order and Sherlock Holmes and all that kind of stuff.
See, then I think you would like this because you're sitting there. Well, I'd give it a shot. I'd give it an episode or two.
All right.
Because you get sucked into, you know, would he have really done this? And we have these debates at home. Colleen is convinced that this guy didn't do this because.
Really?
So what happened? Just the quick background for anybody that hasn't seen it. Stephen Avery was released from jail after 18 years for a crime he didn't commit. There was a sexual assault up in Manitowoc, up where he lives. A woman described the attacker, and the police right away thought, sounds like Stephen Avery.
Mm-hmm.
His family owns this big auto salvage yard. He had been in trouble before. He had done some things, whatever. So the cops said, that sounds like him. And they brought him in, and they questioned him, and she said, yeah, that looks like him. The drawing kind of looked like him. And right away, they went after him, and he gets convicted. And some people even at the time said, well, there's somebody else that blah, 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 you should be looking at, da, da, da. They didn't. And so Stephen goes away. Well, he protested forever, and somehow like an Innocence Project group took him on. And through DNA testing, they were able to find out it wasn't him. It was this other guy that other people had said at the time you should be looking at. So he gets released. I think that's why a documentary crew was there at all. I don't know the origins of how they started getting all this film. But he comes home and he's released. And he's suing now the county. I don't know how many years later it is, but there's a murder. And this woman who was taking pictures for Auto Trader and took pictures at their property. She gets murdered. She's missing pieces of her body. It ends up being basically cremated by somebody. Pieces of her body end up in his burn pit.
Oh, jeez.
And so right away, he's the guy and he gets sent away. And now people have been fighting ever since. He says, I didn't do this either. And there's questions. Was he framed by the police? Was he framed by somebody else? Or did he really commit the murder? And it's complex and it's the justice system and the way things are handled, all this stuff. I mean, it is fascinating as hell. Really is. So
I'll
check that out.
Shot.
All right, we got to take a break. We got lots to do. We've got news coming up as well. 720 WGN. Coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio. After the news, our friend Wally is somewhere overseas. Let's see where he's sort of like our Flat Stanley. He's a Flat Wally now because he's got a Matt Bubala thing. He's taken all around the world for us and taking cool pictures. So we'll check in and see where he is at. Also, I want to start talking about, Roger brought it up earlier, but has Christmas started too soon? Is Thanksgiving getting short shrift? This was a big argument in my house. We'll talk about that. After we do this, hear the sounds that matter, the top five at five from the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago, and smart speaker users just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here's the news with Rod. Matt Bavala with you here, 720 WGN, 312-981-7200. You longtime listeners know that our world traveling listener Wally checks in never from the USA, but from all ports of different parts of the world. Hey, Wally, how are you this morning?
Hey, man, I'm doing well, thank you. And yourself?
I'm doing wonderful. Jess has been sharing with me some of the photos you've been sending. In fact, if you guys out there like our Matt Bubala Facebook page, you can see I just posted a picture of Wally. And where are you traveling right now, sir?
So I'm in China, and right now I'm in Xi'an, X-I-A-N. And it's where the Terracotta Warriors are. Really incredible story about these full-size warriors that were built by the first emperor of China before in B.C., like 200 B.C.
Wow.
And these things were lost to history until about 1974 and found by accident by some farmers digging a well. And it's unbelievable. If your listeners just Google Terracotta Warriors, it's absolutely incredible, the story, and just to see these things and the work that went into these BC, absolutely incredible. Well, absolutely incredible.
So that's the picture that you sent us, Wally, that I put up on the Facebook page. Everybody can see it there. It looks like it's rows and rows of these little statues of warriors separated kind of by I don't know, like sort of like a hedge or something, it looks like. But it looks like a couple of football fields worth of these things.
It is. And they're full size, man. They're full size. The horses and the soldiers are full size.
And they're all made of terracotta?
It's amazing. They're all made of clay. Yep. Absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. And the story is that no two of the faces are the same. And they have found hundreds and hundreds of these things, and there are probably more than 1,000 still buried that may never be uncovered.
So, were these built? Do they know as like an honor to former soldiers, or was this to scare off armies that might be coming and seeing them from far away, or something like that?
No, they were all buried as part of a whole tomb complex. For this emperor, the first emperor of China, and these things were buried, and they were just an incredible story. But it's a World Heritage site, which is kind of ups it a little bit just in kind of the historical perspective of it. But it's a really, really neat thing.
So are they kind of there?
Working in
Are they there as guards of the emperor's tomb? Then is that kind of what it was?
Oh, yes, wow. yes. But they were all buried. I mean, and it wasn't buried like buried over time. These things were built to be buried. I mean, they were covered over in a complex. And what you're seeing for those rows there, man, are actually what was keeping the roof above this kind of structure. Their building techniques were fairly primitive back in 200 BC.
Sure,
but they. They were building these things, those rows were to in order to keep the roof supported. And then they were built, this whole area, man, was covered, and then covered in dirt so that it was forgotten that it was even there. You know, it wasn't written down or handed down, you know, this thing was here that people knew this was uncovered by accident in 1974.
That is crazy.
It really is, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
And so that is in how do you pronounce where you're at?
Xi'an.
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 And are you, is that where you're working, or are you just kind of traveling right now because it's the weekend and checking things out?
I'm working actually in Changzhou, which is about 150 miles northwest of Shanghai.
Okay.
And we flew here. I flew here with some of my colleagues. We just left this morning. It's right now for us. It's 4 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. And so we just flew here this morning, and we're flying back tomorrow morning back to Changzhou for work.
How far of a flight was it?
About a little over two and a half, about almost 2.5 hours.
Wow. So you're...
I'm lovely China Eastern Airlines.
And what is what is airline travel on a China Eastern Airlines like?
Well, it was an Airbus A320. So it was a nice plane, but, you know, it's packed to the gills, and the airplane is great, but the airports are quite interesting, to say the least.
And what's the weather like in China where you're at?
So right now for us here, it's about 45 degrees and raining, so it's not nice. But listen to the Chicago weather and talking to my wife, it's nicer here than it is back home.
Yeah, it sounds
like no snow here right now.
And how long are you in China for?
I'll be here another week.
Holy cow! And you've already been there for a week?
Yes.
Is that hard or when you travel for work? Is there a standard enough of travel that's, you know, with international travelers are used to it, that it doesn't feel that much like you're away from home? Or when you're in China for 2 weeks, are you like, man, I got to get back to America?
I've got to get back to America. That's what it is. Yeah.
I imagine.
But it's the flight to Shanghai from Chicago is about 14 and a half hours. So. It's just a long flight.
Now, I'm sure you're in business class, and it's somewhat luxurious compared to the Eastern Airlines trip you just took, but still 14 hours is 14 hours, whether you're in the Taj Mahal or not, right?
That's right. Just a long time. Very, very long time, yes.
All right, so Wally, Jess is giving you this little design Mapu Balashow piece of paper. Are you leaving that in places, or are you just taking pictures of it in places?
No, I'm taking you with me.
I think you need to make some copies and just kind of surreptitiously leave them in hotel rooms or sometimes in a restaurant. And, you know, I just want to see if anybody ever, like, suddenly texts us or sends an email and says, what the hell is this show that I'm hearing about? I'm interested in this.
I can do that if you like.
That would be great. Yes. We'll leave little calling cards around the world, and we'll see where we hear from people from. That'd be really cool. And Jess wants to know when you're ever going to come visit us.
I will do that. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
Jess wants to know when you're ever going to come visit us and come in and bring in photos and stuff.
We'll something out. We'll figure something out. I've got some things I picked up from my travels for you guys also.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, have a safe trip. Maybe we'll check in with you next weekend if you're still there, if you're not already en route back. But stay safe and enjoy China. Enjoy that Terracotta Warrior site.
Sounds good. Thanks, Matt. All right, appreciate
Wally,
it.
Have fun. Thank you for checking in. We appreciate it. That's our listener, Wally. Always checks in when he's overseas. He's working in China right now for a couple of weeks. And give a like to our Facebook page. Go on to Facebook and like the Matt Bubala Show. Also put it on our Twitter page, at Matt Bubala. It's a really cool picture. I didn't think I'd heard of the Terracotta Warriors before. It looks kind of familiar. But, man, when you see that, you'll be amazed by it. And to think these guys were all built and then purposely just buried. Like guards protecting a tomb like we'd see with, in Egypt and things like that. But football fields worth of these soldiers built out of clay and then just buried and then forgotten about. Nothing even written down about it. They stumble upon it. Crazy world we live in. 312-981-7200. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala here with you on 720 WGN, 3:22 in the morning. Thanks for staying up late with us, everybody. Coming up after 4, our friend Chris Gebhardt from space.com will tell us if there really is an alien ship in space. Well, maybe he won't tell us, but he'll give us his thoughts on it. Roger, a lot happened this week since last week. You know, we haven't talked at all yet about the election. There was a big election last week.
Really?
One of the best, I think, things to come out of that would be, well, two things. One is there were, certainly here in Chicago, I think in the state and in most states, much higher turnout than normal.
Yes.
So many more Americans exercising
not than normal, than expected, I think.
The normal for a non-presidential midterm, we did really, really well.
Yeah. I'll go along with that.
Did we not reach the levels of voting we had for the presidential election?
I think it got up to 58. Where are you talking nationwide?
Yeah, I mean
nationwide.
You know, it's going to be different because some states had a lot more going on than others. Some states had senators.
True.
Like we didn't have one senator.
Right.
You know, both of ours aren't in this one, but we did have a governor's race.
And
some
not
states probably had none of that.
Right. Not all representatives were elected because they're in a staggered.
Not all
election
senators,
schedule.
But all the members of the House. They're all up every 2 years. So every state had their House of Representatives up, but not every state had senators because they're staggered. And, of course, it wasn't presidential.
So what are we looking up here again?
How this voter turnout ranks.
Oh, voter. Okay.
I know that it beat the previous midterms like crazy for most states, for many states. You know, like the early voting in some states beat their total voting for the 2014 midterms, I know. So it was really good. So that was really good. The other thing that came out that I thought was really, really positive is that over 100 women are headed to Congress. And I think that is really a great thing because we need better representation of who America really is. And sometimes you look at a poster of all the people in Congress and you're like, that's a lot of old white dudes. You know,
mm-hmm.
And that's not reflective of who the country truly is. So having more women, having more people of color, those are all good things, I think, overall for America.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like the idea of having a bunch of women there. Sometimes we kind of need that.
Midterm voter turnout hit 50-year high. This according to NPR. Almost half of possible voters actually voted. Might not sound impressive, but for a U.S. midterm election, it's huge. Compare that with just 36.7% in 2014 and 41% in 2010. The turnout Tuesday, more than 47% of voting eligible population cast a ballot. And again, like you said, some areas got less and some areas got more.
Still so amazing, though, isn't it, that with all the talk and you know, how divided the country is, and it just, whether you love or hate or whatever, how aware we are right now of politics, amazing that we're still cheering for getting just over 50%. It's terrible.
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing?
Yeah.
We all should be out there voting. You know, I thought this earlier this week. I know a lot of people get upset at athletes kneeling during the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that that's upsetting because I don't, you know, I think that soldiers fight and we fight for our freedom of expression. And they're not protesting soldiers. They're protesting what they say are racial injustices. So I'm okay with that. And kneeling is a sign of respect. So I really think that's overblown. But to not vote, to me, that is disrespecting everything that those soldiers have fought for, the soldiers that have laid down their lives. Ultimately, that's, to me, the embodiment of why we have military and why they fight for our freedoms is so that we can vote. And if you're like, it doesn't matter, whatever, that to me is very disrespectful of all the people who have served our country. Get out and vote. Learn a little something about it. Make a decision, whatever. You might not care. You might not think it matters. In Illinois, we had one House race. I don't remember which one. That was decided literally by one vote.
Yeah.
One vote. That's crazy. And look at these other races around the country. I mean, we had people that conceded races that are now like, well, actually, now that all these absentee ballots are coming in, this kind of isn't over yet. In Florida, that Senate race, that governor's race, in Alabama.
There's a third one down there,
too. In Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's crazy what's going on. Not crazy in that sense that they're, you know, it's funny because now there's a lot of screaming about these votes shouldn't count. And, you know, whatever party you're on, when it doesn't seem to be going your way, you either think that this shouldn't happen or it should, depending on how it seems like it's going to turn out.
Mm-hmm. And I did see a story, and I think this might have been in Arizona again. I think it might have been one of the local races. And again, I'm looking for it here, and I can't find it, but I do remember seeing it on my Twitter feed. I think yesterday or the day before, about one of the candidates won by one vote. After all of the votes were counted, one vote. Now you've got a difference of 10,000 or 15,000 votes between these candidates in Florida that are being contested.
Obviously, there are a lot more people down in Florida than there were in this one district that I'm thinking of, and this one race that I'm thinking of. But to have an election decided by one vote, that's the person that decided I will go to the polls and vote, as opposed to the 52% that decided their vote didn't count.
Was there something where Hillary won? Hillary didn't just win an Iowa caucus by like five votes or something crazy, did she?
You're talking about the Democratic primary?
Yeah.
I
can't imagine that's possible.
I don't remember that.
I swear we'd know more about that. Yeah. My son Jack was trying to tell me Hillary won something in Iowa by five votes, and we had friends who caucused for Hillary.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, just think, if they had gone and caucused for the other person, she never would have won.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if she was truly that close, but it really does, it all counts. And whether or not you know that it counts, like here in Illinois, you could have said, well, it doesn't really matter because Pritzker's going to win. He's up by double digits. And with the last presidential, you knew it was going to go blue. But it still matters that your voice is counted and that you went ahead and did your civic duty. I firmly believe that. So there's my soapbox.
Thank now, there is a listing here now. I just happened to be looking around. List of close elections is on Wikipedia, which means it's been compiled from other sources. They've got the year, and this is international, but I'll look for local stuff. Margin of votes. In other words, how many votes separated the two?
Yeah.
I'm looking at zeros. Virginia House of Delegates. Virginia House of Delegates. Massachusetts House of Representatives. 6th District. 0 votes. For the winner, there were 6,587 votes cast. Mm-hmm. They had to go to a special election. And the winner eventually won by 56 votes.
It's crazy.
Seriously, there is a long list of 0 votes. Here is the governor of Massachusetts. Well, this is back 1839. Let's get something a little closer.
You remember that one, though, don't you?
Yeah, I was young then. Actually,
and now, here's election results from 1839.
Seriously, there is some. I'm a history buff.
Yes.
But I'm looking at this now, and I'm going, wow, this looks interesting. Virginia's House of Representatives, this one's 1882, 1st District, 1 vote.
One by one vote, you mean?
What? There was a difference of one vote.
Okay.
And we're only talking...
Only eight white men who own property and people got
well,
to vote.
Well, probably,
back then,
probably, yeah. 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 Total votes, 10,505 votes.
Pretty good.
So,
that's a lot to have something win by one vote.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we just had it here in the House. So every vote counts. All right, we got to do the news.
Okay.
Headlines at 3:31 a.m. Here is Roger Badish. Ain't nobody gonna tell us to go, because this is our show. Everybody. 3:38 in the morning. Matt Bobile here with you. 720 WGN. Thanks for staying up late with us. 312-981-7200 is the number. You can call, you can text, you can get a hold of us however you like. What was I about to tell you, Roger? All right, so you said we have Blackhawks this morning at 11.
11:30.
Pregame.
Mm-hmm.
At Boston?
No. Not
I'm
Boston.
Thinking. I guess I'm thinking of the New Year's.
Philadelphia.
Playing the Flyers.
Yeah.
Not at the UC. That's in Philly?
Right. They're on the road.
Oh, man, that's too bad. I'm heading there later this week, actually.
Oh.
Going for the National... and won't be on the air next weekend, because I will be at the National Dog Show... in
woof.
Philadelphia.
Woof, woof.
Woof, woof. That's the show that airs on Thanksgiving Day on NBC.
So will Steve Dale.
That's why I'm going.
I heard him on the air earlier.
Yeah, going with Steve.
Yeah.
We're going to go do some Facebook Lives out there. We do some work for Purina, and they're the presenter of the National Dog Show.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to get to see the dog show before Thanksgiving Day.
Wonderful.
So very excited about that.
Yeah.
It should be fun.
Do we know who's filling in your big shoes?
I do not know. Okay. I would imagine John Hanson, because he usually is our fill-in guy.
Okay.
Don't get that excited.
I'm sorry. I got
pretend
lots of love for John.
Me.
I have lots of love for John.
That's fine. I like John. He's a good guy.
When he first came to work here many moons ago, I trained him in the newsroom.
Oh.
And then he got way bigger and
yes, he
decided
did.
He didn't want to do that anymore. And
yeah.
Now he's a big-time media guy.
He is. He's a big superstar.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it'll be John or not, but it probably will be because he tends to do it. Yeah. Okay.
Hear that Jess will not be here
next week? Jess won't be here next weekend either. Jess isn't going to be here for the next 2 weeks.
What?
She's got stuff next weekend. Then she's got a wedding on Thanksgiving weekend. She's got a Black Friday wedding she's attending.
Ooh. Is that a themed wedding?
Yeah, it's a wedding. And then they all come flying into the reception room, and they have all the gifts laid out like they're flat-screen TVs, and they fight over them.
There you go.
Right?
Their wedding is actually really low-key. Like, the ceremony is at 10 a.m. on Black Friday, and then their reception is that evening, and then it goes on through the show. And then it ends up... It starts off at, like, a bar, and then it ends up at...
Another bar.
I think it's an arcade, actually, like a beercade or something.
Like a video arcade with games and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's interesting. So if it starts at 10 in the morning, then that
why
gives...
Why do they have that huge separation? Why do the wedding at 10 in the morning and then say, okay, let's meet back up 12 hours from now?
I don't know. And it's like an hour drive from each other.
Where the wedding is in the morning versus where the reception is?
Yeah.
Well, they give you plenty of time to get there, I guess.
Yeah. Well, they got to change and get ready for boozing it up all night long. But at 10 in the morning, then you've got lots of time on Black Friday because everything opens up at midnight. You know, or
maybe
even before
that.
They
did at 10 in the morning. They figure you stay out shopping all night.
Yeah.
Come up for the ceremony.
For the wedding and then the party.
Then you can nap. And then we have the party that night.
That is true.
There you go.
And then they also are very into, like, pumpkins. So I think there's going to be a lot of pumpkin-themed stuff.
You have very interesting friends. You know that, Justin? Yeah. You really do.
They're actually Stefan's friends first.
How are you really into pumpkins?
She loves pumpkins, like, in fall stuff. Like, fall deeper.
Is that why they planned the wedding this time of year?
No, they've been together like 6 or 7 years already, but they're very young.
Okay.
And he proposed to her at the arcade that I believe his reception is at.
Well, that's interesting.
But I also think that they got like a pretty decent deal for like Black Friday. It's like a third of the price.
That makes sense.
I don't blame them.
It was a Black Friday deal.
Boom.
That was a good one, Roger.
Thank you very much.
Gosh. Clearly 3:43 in the morning, as everybody can tell. So coming up after 4, we've got Chris Gebhardt. I want to ask you guys a little bit about this. I got to take a break here, and then I'd love a call or a few texts on this. Has Christmas season started too early? So on Halloween, my son Michael was getting together a costume, kind of last minute. So we ran over to the dollar store. And this is like 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Halloween. Now, it's the dollar store, granted. But the display that had all their a bunch of Halloween stuff, as we walk in there to look for something for Michael, the guy's taking it down and replacing it with Christmas stuff. That makes sense. It's Halloween day. Yeah. Everybody's bought their stuff. But immediately, the Christmas stuff was going up. When I was at Lowe's last week buying the magnets, whole sections of Christmas stuff. And fine, it's November. So to me, and you know, WLIT started their Christmas selections this week.
Right.
At 4 o'clock on Thursday, they went all Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with listening to that. I'm okay with that. And a study came out, I saw some headlines this week that people that put up their decorations really early tend to be happier. And Colleen feels that Thanksgiving is getting screwed here.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to have Thanksgiving. She will not listen to the music on LIT until the day after Thanksgiving. We turn it on in the car right now just to annoy her. And then she gets mad. And then we have to change it. And she feels that Thanksgiving is getting the short shrift here. And we need to respect Thanksgiving, be thankful, and all that stuff, and then move on. And she's okay if you put the lights out now because, like, there was a good weather day, but don't turn them on. Do not turn your Christmas lights on before Thanksgiving.
I agree, Matt.
You two are a couple of Grinches.
What?
Here's my take on it. If this holiday Christmas makes you happy, you really enjoy it, and you love that time of year, then I could see where you're like, well, I don't want just 4 weeks of that. I'll take 7 weeks of that. I'll listen to music a little earlier. I'll get my decorations out. I don't think it makes you any less thankful for Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving still has its days. Thanksgiving's going to have its turkey and its family and whatever it has. It's not like you're gathering around the turkey singing Christmas carols and really, you know, ruining that day. You're still going to have Thanksgiving, but I think it's okay. Listen, Jess, if you're so, oh, you can't, blah, 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 then what are you telling Roger you already bought his Christmas gift for? Then you shouldn't be thinking about that yet, right? Right. But you did that, and that's okay. You're in the Christmas spirit.
But you have to plan ahead for that. That's
a. You don't have to.
Yes, you do.
You don't have to.
Because some stuff takes a while to get ready.
She could have gotten it after Thanksgiving.
No, no, no. Some stuff takes planning and advanced planning, and some things you have to get ordered ahead of time.
Some stuff doesn't.
Also, shipping and handling.
Whatever. Shipping and handling. Well, see, all right. So remember, you don't remember this, Matt, but in days of old, back about 6 years ago and prior to that, when I was teaching,
okay,
and I was making a lot more money than I am now. Wow, do I miss those days. So
making money,
making more money than I am now,
having money. Yes,
I mean, I'm doing we're doing fine with my pension and retirement stuff, and but it was a lot more. I love these holiday ornaments, Christmas ornaments, tree ornaments, that either light up or do things or have sounds, some kind of recording.
Okay.
All right. And they're usually from Hallmark, and I forgot what the other company is that has them. And I used to buy them for everybody, well, not everybody, but the people I worked with at the station.
Sure.
And it's to the point now where I can't afford those. But those would come out in October. And if there were certain ones that if you did not get them right away, boom, gone.
Yeah.
I used to buy, there was a series of Frank Sinatra ornaments. And they were all from different stages of his life.
Mm.
And each one had a clip of a song from that stage in his life that he made famous. They were awesome, but they were gone within days of being put out on the market.
So you had to get that.
You had to get that early. And we're talking September, October, when they would be revealed by these companies.
312 writes, I work for UPS. Christmas always starts too early. Well, you've got a kind of a bias on that one because making your day longer. 781 says, yes, it is way too early. I disagree. If you're into it, it's okay. It's okay if you're not too. It's okay if you feel like you want to wait and you're not listening to it. But I don't think you need to get grumpy about it. I don't think you need to get mad at people who are, you know, I agree. Don't turn on the lights. Listen, if there's a good weather day, I'm going to get those lights hung up because I hate having to do that on a day like yesterday.
Wait a minute.
So we get a little warm.
You hate having the kids to do that.
I have always done the lights. The kids have never done the
really?
Lights. Really? I don't trust them to do the lights. I like my lights how I like my lights.
Do you give them anything to do outside?
Tommy's been painting the porch with me and all that stuff, which still isn't.
That's not a holiday thing.
Oh, a holiday thing?
Yeah, putting up the lights or some kind of decorations outside.
The triplets and Jack all help put the ornaments on the tree. But I like
that's inside.
I don't have the thing for them outside. Do they have to have a thing outside?
Well, maybe you put lights on. Do you have like bushes around the house?
Yes.
Anywhere? Then have them put the lights on the bushes.
No.
Okay, fine.
I want them done correctly.
All right.
And neat and orderly.
Control
how
freak.
I like them a little bit with that. Yeah. And I refuse to let anybody else do the lights on the Christmas tree because I knock those suckers out of the park.
Yeah, well, I don't. Our tree has the built-in lights.
Yeah.
We have an artificial tree, and it's always like one set that never lights, so I don't care who does them anymore, because I am not going to freak out about trying to figure out which plug goes into which receptacle anymore. So if Bridget wants to do it, if David wants to do it, I could care less. Go ahead, get the tree from downstairs. It's in a box.
Yeah, bring in a fresh tree still, and I fill up that smell in the air, and it's beautiful, and then I want it lit as brightly as possible, so I take a few strands first, and I use the multicolor lights. This was a marriage compromise. White lights outside, multicolor lights on the tree.
Wait a minute. How did that become a compromise?
Because Colleen would have wanted all white. She'd like white on the tree, and I refuse, and I would like multicolored outside as well. But So,
you know which ones I really like now? I've never thought of it before.
Mm-mm.
Kind of the those bright bluish, purplish kind of lights.
Okay.
They almost look like a black light kind of color. And I love that color.
Really?
On a tree. Yeah. I don't know where, within the last several years, I kind of fell in love with that color. Just beautiful.
Roger, I will help you decorate. My grandma and I won a Christmas decorating contest 2 years ago.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick,
but
everybody.
It's an artificial tree. The lights are built in. There's nothing to decorate. You know, Bridget's got a box of old ornaments and that she and the grand girls did. She went out and bought these really large clear balls and painted them. The kids sat and painted them one day, did a bunch of them, and that's what she hangs on the tree now.
Oh, that looked
good. Yeah,
it was
a really nice project.
All right, real quick, two texts. 309 says, decorations go up Friday after Thanksgiving, come down New Year's Day. So that's hardcore. That's how they like it.
Ooh,
fine.
New Year's
you can
Day.
Have that. I think that's a little quick.
Yeah.
I think that's a little quick. 847 says, fully agree with you on the timing, Matt. What's wrong with extending the good cheer of the Christmas season? I like it early. Good for you. Mm-hmm. I agree. Quick break, and then John is going to call in. We'll take a quick call from John before we get to the news coming up, 720 WGN. 312-981-7200 is the number. John has called in this morning. Hey, John, good morning.
Hi, how are you guys?
We're doing good.
I wanted to give you some first-hand information. We were talking about voting a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I was at the primary in 2016, and Hillary Clinton beat Bernie Sanders by one percentage point over here in Iowa. She won by, I think, less than 1,000 votes.
Wow, so it was close. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really interesting because at the primary, the officials asked everybody that was a Hillary supporter to get on one side of the room and everybody that was a Bernie supporter to get on the other side of the room, and it was virtually evenly matched.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy how you guys do it out there with stuff like that, because then you got the peer pressure of everybody in the room seeing which side you're on and everything. It must be pretty intense.
Yeah, it was. I went to rallies for both Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton. The Bernie Sanders rallies were always really easy going, but to get on the Hillary one, it was like an armed camp.
Oh, yeah, because of the protections as former First Lady and everything else, I imagine.
Yeah, but anyway, you know, you guys are talking about voting and stuff. I mean, like in Massachusetts and Virginia, you're talking about the old times.
Yeah.
Remember, there wasn't any early voting or absentee voting at
that
time.
That's true. You had to show up and do it back in the day, right?
Yeah, and now, I mean, now it's like sneaky voting. You know? it's voting, but it's like the Bugs Bunny cartoon where Bugs is all the characters around the tables, and he wants a share of the loot. You know, everybody's got their hand in. It's like me and me, boss.
Yeah, that's funny. All right, John, thank you so much for calling in. Have a great weekend. We appreciate it. 312-981-7200. News coming up next, 720 WGN. Oh, if that doesn't get you in the spirit, people?
Was that you adding a little ho-ho-ho?
Of course
ho?
It was.
Oh, my gosh.
It's very hard to time out that ho-ho-ho. It is, because you hear it a million times, but then you never know quite where to jump in. But I think I nailed it.
I think you were.
And let's use some of that spirit, people, because you people on the text line are getting crabby. I don't know if it's the cold weather, if it's the snow, if it's, you know, I don't know what's going on. But
calm down,
on,
folks.
Everybody.
It'll be 50 degrees next week.
And the election's over,
yes.
And we're still here, and life is good. Let's take it for what we got.
Yeah.
708, Bernie and Hillary get on separate sides of the room. Are we picking sides for a third grade recess game? Typical.
What? That's
this
not what
this is how Iowa does it. This is called caucusing. They do this. It's kind of crazy and kind of cool, and it's their tradition. That's how they do it. Relax.
Go talk to the people
Relax.
In Iowa. Don't get on the line there.
574, Christmas is starting too early. If you don't let the kids help with the lights, how will they learn to do it so they can continue the tradition? You are also stealing their joy and memories. Nothing to tell their kids about. I'm getting yelled at from people because I like to do the lights the way I like to do the lights. Relax, everybody. The kids still enjoy Christmas. They hang the ornaments on the tree. It's all good.
And they still get all the presents?
They hide, well, not much. They hide the pickle. Do a pickle. There's some German thing, and I don't know where we picked this up from. I think our friend Johnny Ostrowski out in Munster, in Dyer now, they had a pickle on the tree. So we bought a pickle ornament at Macy's a few years ago when we went to see Santa, and now it never works out the way the kids want it because I never... too lazy to keep doing it, but when we put the ornaments in, I'll hide the pickle.
Okay,
and then it's a contest. It's a green pickle, and so it gets buried pretty easily in a green tree.
Yeah, right.
And you hide it deep in there, high or low, and then there it really will take them a few days to find this pickle. And then what they want to do is whoever finds the pickle gets to hide it next. I never let them hide it again. I'm like, you know, one and done. You won. Good job. And then we're done with it.
Oh, they want to like hide it for
they want
each
now
of the
they,
other
now
kids.
They want to hide it and see if other people can find it, which worries me that eventually that means the tree's coming down. So. Kind of put a kibosh on that. All right, Chris Gebhardt from space.com coming up after I tell you the Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Here's the news now, Mr. Battish. I have a bottle with you, 720 WGN 312-981-7200. Our buddy Chris Gebhardt from space.com might have been abducted by aliens because he's not picking up his phone. So maybe we'll talk next week, 2 weeks, when I'm back.
Oh, I'm sorry, what?
About the mysterious, I don't know how you pronounce this thing, Oumuamua?
That's easy for you to say.
Scientists have been puzzling over Oumuamua. That's what I'm going with. Ever since the mysterious space object was observed tumbling past the sun in late 2017. Given its high speed and its unusual trajectory, the reddish, stadium-sized whatever it is had clearly come from outside our solar system. But its flattened, elongated shape and the way it accelerated on its way through our solar system set it apart from conventional asteroids and comets. Now, a pair of Harvard researchers are raising the possibility that Oumuamua is an alien spacecraft. As they said in a paper published November 12th, or will be published November 12th, in the Astrophysical Journal Letters. The object, quote, may be a fully operational probe sent intentionally to Earth vicinity by an alien civilization. I mean, it sort of makes sense in a weird way that our first contact would not be contact at all, right? If we're ever to... We know that any possible intelligent life is so far away from us that we're not flying there. We're not showing up there with our current technology. But maybe some sort of probe that traveled for thousands of years would be what found it.
Well, that's what we've done.
So if the
we've sent probes out in space.
Yeah. Not one that's ever gotten this far, though.
No.
Into another system.
We don't even have one that's out of our solar system.
We don't have one that's left. I thought something had left.
Was it the Voyager
system.
That went out?
I thought so.
I think Voyager went out past Pluto, which is a planet, not a planet.
It'll always be a planet to me.
Let's see here. Voyager.
Goofy will never be a planet, but I'll always still have Pluto.
Or as they say in the Star Trek movie, V'ger.
They don't say Voyager?
No, they say V'ger until they scrape the... space residue off of the nameplate and realize it's Voyager. But it refers to itself as V'ger.
We went and saw, I don't think I told you this, a couple weeks ago we took the kids to see First Man.
Oh, okay.
The Ryan Gosling movie.
Yeah.
About Neil Armstrong and, you know, the first trip to the moon. Throughout that movie, I always thought it was the Gemini program. Every time somebody in that movie says it, they say Gemini.
What?
Gemini.
In the movie?
Yes. They never say Gemini. It's Gemini.
Why?
And I couldn't figure that out. And the only thing I could think of is maybe President Kennedy, in his New England slang, had called it Gemini. We're going to send that Gemini program. You know, maybe that's how he said it. And so maybe since he was assassinated, maybe to honor him. They all called it Gemini? That's all I could think of. I have no idea why they're saying Gemini instead of Gemini. Because it's supposed to be Gemini, right?
Yeah.
They say Gemini.
Goofy people. October 5th, 2018, NASA Voyager 2 could be nearing interstellar space.
And we're still in contact with that? Or is it just floating out there now?
I think they're estimating. Let me read on here. NASA's Voyager 2 probe, currently on a journey towards interstellar space, has detected an increase in cosmic rays that originate outside our solar system. Launched in 1977, Voyager 2 is a little less than 11 billion miles from Earth, or more than 118 times the distance from Earth to the sun. Since 2007, the probe has been traveling through the outermost layer of the heliosphere, the vast bubble around the sun and the planets dominated by solar material and magnetic fields. Voyager scientists have been watching for the spacecraft to reach the outer boundary of the heliosphere, known as the class.
Outer bounds of the heliosphere?
Is called the heliopause.
I would have never
guessed. I wouldn't either. Once Voyager 2 exits the heliosphere, it will become the second human-made object after Voyager 1 to enter interstellar space. The Cosmic Ray Subsystem instrument on Voyager 2, since late August, has measured about a 5% increase in the rate of cosmic rays hitting the spacecraft compared to early August. The probe's low-energy charge particle instrument has detected a similar increase in higher energy cosmic rays.
Amazes me most about all this is that we built something in 1972 that's still ticking all the way out there. That's pretty good.
Can you believe this?
Just think about the cars from the 70s. They didn't have a good reputation.
No, they've been rebuilt.
But they sent this thing. It's traveled billions of miles now?
And it's 6 years after Voyager 1 did it.
It's amazing. It's great. I don't know why this is popping in my head right now, but I have two religious jokes to tell you, Roger, that my son Michael...
Wow.
How did this?
Because we're talking about the holidays.
Because of space travel. And that's touching the face of God.
I gotcha. Right? Oh, all right.
Michael.
How your mind works sometimes.
I do not know where he got these from. I'm sure he didn't create them.
Okay.
But he said to me, "Hey, Dad, how did Jesus make coffee?"
He brewed it.
He brewed it.
Uh huh. He brewed it.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I
like that one. It's a good one because it brings our Catholic and Jewish faith together.
Of course.
And then the other one he said was, Jesus was out preaching to the people, and he said, "I am the Son of God." And they said, "No way." And he said, "Yahweh."
Oh, I like that one. That's a good one.
They're so bad that they're good. I hope that didn't offend anybody out there. It's a little bringing the season to you.
That's a little morning chuckle with your morning brew.
Yes,
he brewed it. There's actually a brand of coffee that I think says he brewed or something like that.
Is that a kosher brand?
No,
it should be.
I think it's just
coffee.
It just
doesn't
is.
Need to be kosher, though, right?
Coffee doesn't need to be kosher. No, even though coffee is a fruit.
A fruit?
Yeah, coffee bean.
Coffee beans are considered a fruit?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that? I've never heard that in my life.
All right, hold on a second here. Hebrew coffee.
And Roger goes to the internet.
Hebrews coffee has a passion for actually... French Quarter Plaza. Oh, this is actually... where the heck? All right, never mind.
What are you mean to search kosher coffee?
No. Hebrews Coffee Company in Bedford. Where is... seriously, it says Hebrews...
Should be in Bedford Park because of the good water supply. They're making coffee.
It could be. I don't know. Bedford, because that's... Is that Bedford, Massachusetts? I'm looking here. I have no idea where this is.
I have no idea what...
But it actually says Hebrews... coffee. Now, if I had my friend Mike Ebert, who is a master coffee roaster, actually travels the world teaching people how to roast coffee. So there. See, I know people.
I don't even know what you're doing right now.
Coffee
I'm lost.
Bean is a fruit. Ooh, look at that. Someone else has looked for that. A coffee bean is the seed of the coffee plant, the source of coffee. It is the pit inside the red or purple fruit, often referred to as a cherry. Just like ordinary cherries, the coffee fruit is also a so-called stone fruit.
So wait a minute. Coffee beans come from the seeds of cherries?
No.
Oh.
Coffee beans, all right, the coffee bean is inside of the coffee fruit.
Okay. So there is a fruit called coffee.
It's off the coffee tree. They're cherries. You pick the cherries off of the coffee trees, either an Arabica or a Robusto.
This sounds like you're just lying to me.
I'm not.
Like you're just making crap up so I can sound an idiot when I'm talking to somebody else.
Oh, man.
I mean, think about it. You're saying it grows off the coffee tree. In my life, I've never heard of a coffee tree.
There are coffee trees.
There are not.
Yep. Wow. Excuse me.
There's coffee trees.
It is a coffee tree.
And the coffee cherry grows off the coffee tree.
And you pick the cherries, and then you wash them. The pulp from the outside gets washed off, and the coffee bean is within.
That's like the seed.
Right.
And what do you do with the cherries? How come
it just washes off? It just washes off in the process.
Nobody eats the cherry.
All of this is done at the site of where the plantations are.
Why are they wasting the cherries? Why are they
they're not worth anything.
Starbucks would sell.
You can't make any money off of
that. In a minute.
Let's put the. Did you know that coffee?
Cafe moke latte bota bata putututa.
Coffee is the second most traded commodity behind oil in the world.
I could see that.
So the cherries are washed, they're peeled and washed. The beans inside are raw. They're a light color, kind of greenish.
Texter 630 tells me that, of course, Roger's right. There are coffee trees. They're usually found in orchards next to money trees.
Look at what you're doing to people.
It's you, Roger.
No.
You're the one doing it.
It is true.
I thought, what's the cocoa bean? That's just for chocolate.
That's
so
chocolate.
The coffee bean comes from a coffee cherry that grows on a coffee tree.
Right. Cacao bean produces the chocolate.
And the coffee trees grow big after unicorns pee on them.
I'm going to smack you one.
Okay.
Wow. I'm just going to. Mike Ebert, if you're anywhere within the sound of my voice, please call and save me. Seriously.
312-981-7200. 708 says we should make it. You said that it was in Bedford Falls. We're going to stay with the holiday theme.
Oh, yeah. Falls. There you go. That's pretty cool.
Merry Christmas, you old building alone. Got news coming up a little bit on 720 WGN. All right, I'm reading about coffee trees and coffee plants. They're real. I guess that's what they grow on. Although, when you look at it, it doesn't look like a tree. They look like big bushes.
Yeah, small tree. It depends. Now, there's two types of coffees. There's Arabica and Robusto. Back in the old days, the canned coffee that you bought, or even some of the stuff
Hills
that
Brothers?
Hills Brothers, things like that, they were all Robusto. Those are the lower quality beans. They're grown at a lower altitude.
Okay.
The Arabica beans are grown at a higher altitude. They're a little fuller. They have richer flavor. Those are the ones that are used in your specialty coffees. Those are the ones that you get at your Starbucks and Gloria Jeans and all these other companies.
Okay.
All right. Now, some of those Hills Brothers and all those companies are starting to use Arabica beans. All right. The beans are washed off. The cherry is washed off. The green beans are laid out in the sun to dry after being washed and cleaned. They are laid out to dry, and then they are gathered up in bags. And those are those huge bags that you see shipped, and those are the bags that are sold, that are traded as commodities. So it's by the I forgot what the weight is, but that's the beans that are sold as commodity or traded as commodity. Those beans then come into the roasting plants in America, depending on who buys it, which companies, and those beans then get roasted.
Hmm.
And the longer you roast a bean, the darker it gets. Anything else you want to know about coffee?
I think I'm good.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you, sir.
Caffeine. Would you like to know about caffeine?
Nope.
The lighter the roast, the more caffeine.
Okay.
Caffeine is one of the many chemicals, about 30-some-odd chemicals in a coffee bean. And so the lighter the roast, the more strong the caffeine. The longer you roast it, the less caffeine in the bean. Caffeine is one of the chemicals that gets burned off quickly in the roasting process.
Oh.
Okay? And so the longer you roast, if you look at espresso coffee or French roast coffee, those are very dark roast coffees. Most of the caffeine has been pulled out of the bean and burned on the surface, which is why those beans look kind of shiny.
Okay.
So there's less caffeine in an espresso than there is in a regular cup of coffee. Unless, of course, you do what I do and get about 6 shots.
Which is not good for the heart.
Not necessarily. This is why I only do one a day.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
But let's remember where I used to work.
At Gloria Jeans.
Thank you.
And at the
Who I'll see in about a month.
For the annual party.
Annual party.
Oh, good. Yeah. Speaking of, by the way, John Williams has an event coming up this morning. I thought there were a couple of tickets left the other day. I don't know if there's any left now, but at 10 a.m., I believe, this morning out in Elgin, they're doing a morning conversation with...
Teddy Roosevelt?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah. I heard him talking about it yesterday.
Yeah. So that's worth checking out. We've got Hawks this morning. We've got Wildcats early afternoon. Who are the Cats playing? They're playing Iowa.
Yeah.
That's a big game in Iowa.
That's a Big Ten game. It's a division game.
It's a big, Big Ten division game because if the Cats win this game, they have a really good shot at winning the West and for the first time ever getting into the Big Ten championship game.
Yeah.
That would be huge. Huge. In fact, got a shot at getting themselves up in the rankings, I think, too.
Definitely.
And we'll get into the top 25.
Especially how close they got things with Notre Dame until the very end.
Yeah, they almost ended Notre Dame's bid for the college playoff.
Yeah.
Notre Dame's got a shot at that. I forget if they're playing this weekend or not.
Yeah, they are, actually. Really? They are playing, I got it right here, Florida State. Is that the Seminoles?
Yes. And they used to be really good, and they're not as good right now, I think.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But we'll see. Every game's a trap game now for Notre Dame. And the Hawks let go of Joel Quenneville this week.
Yeah.
That was a stunner. I did not see that coming. All right, stop for one second. In 10 years, he won 3 Stanley Cups.
But they didn't make the playoffs last year.
Once.
Yeah, but that's...
Once. Once.
Right.
That's crazy.
Sports
if you just look at it on the
wait.
Surface. That's not true in general, Roger. That's not true
another
in general.
Another hockey coach got canned a week before.
Had he won 3 Stanley Cups in the last 10 years?
No, he had not.
Now, maybe it was the right decision. I have no idea. I'm not in the office, and I don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
I thought Steve Cochran said something interesting that morning when it happened, that he thought, you know, there must have been some disagreement. They wanted him to get rid of somebody or something he wouldn't agree to do or something. We don't know. Yeah. They said it was amicable. Q hasn't talked. I don't know what happened.
No one will know. No one's going to know.
Well, you'd think at some point that, I don't know.
Someone will write a book.
Maybe not. Maybe not. And they said it was just time for a change. But how do you decide, you know, 10 games in? I know they don't want to go through a season the same way, but they started out so hot. And in some ways,
but then they just lost 5 straight.
I know, but then they lost the first game. I mean, so if this new coach, so by saying, listen, we think it's time for a change and believing in the players they have here, and then you put this coach into it. So what happens if this coach doesn't turn it around? Is that then on that coach or is it now on the general manager who said, we put the new guy in because the old guy wasn't getting it done. We believe these players are a playoff team. Then you pick this coach who you just put in there, and if he doesn't get it done, does that reflect on the coach or reflect on the guy who put it? I mean, we've made some... Listen, the Hawks have had to make a lot of tough moves because of salary cap, and once you win three, it's tough to keep that all together. Marian Hossa ends up having to retire.
Sure.
Kane and Taves haven't had the same years lately. Brendan Saad goes away, comes back, is not the same Brendan Saad we used to have. We trade away Panarin, we trade away Hjalmarsson. A lot of things have happened. It's tough to keep it up under the salary cap.
Yes.
But at some point, it's also the moves you've made. So it'll just be a very interesting rest of the season. And then I felt bad for the new coach. You know, you hear him on Steve's show in the morning, and he sounds like a great guy, and they just had a baby, and he knows he's stepping into big shoes. And then 22 minutes into his first game, they're down 4-0.
Yeah, that was tough.
They fought back, and they almost tied it up. It would have been nice if they could have sent it to overtime for him, but... I'll be very interested to see how the Hawks play for him. Hopefully well.
Give him a few games to get the kinks worked out.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got some players that are older than him on the team, which is crazy.
Yes.
And interesting. All right. 4:31 in the morning. In a little bit, we'll say hi to Orion before he gets the morning show, but we still have a half hour left after we check the headlines here with Roger Badish. Every time you're talking about the eastbound accident, it's in my head. Watch old bandit run. This is in a commercial right now, too.
What commercial?
It's like a Ford truck or a Chevy truck commercial. They're all on the highway going somewhere, and they're playing this song. And I'm telling my son, Jack, I'm like, this is from a great movie.
Yeah, I saw it. I think I pulled it up about 3 weeks ago and watched it. Funny movie.
Are we going to do what they say can't be done? I love that. Hey, Smokey and the Bandit were good movies.
Yeah.
They were. Sally Field was in that, and Jerry Reed singing that song right there.
Sally Field, I have a crush on so.
You know, she was just in town. Heidi Stevens got to interview her at the Chicago Theater. She has a memoir out.
Nobody called me.
Sorry. Yeah, a couple of textures. 405, it is based on the book Dr. Sleep, which is a sequel to The Shining. 301, yes, King wrote a sequel novel a few years ago, and the title was Dr. Sleep.
I'll be.
Maybe that'd be a good book to pick up. A little vacation reading there.
There you go.
You just need a vacation.
Not until next summer.
Ugh, God, I want to get away so bad, Roger.
I know.
I'm walking outside today, and I'm like, why are we in Mexico? Why are we here? Why?
Well, you can go on the Sox trip to Mexico. Don't we have a... Who's going with the Sox? Isn't that John? Williams, yeah.
Yes. I want my own trip.
You know who to talk to.
Somebody else's.
You know who to talk to.
Who?
Steve Bertrand.
He doesn't return my calls.
Oh.
I said, hey, we want to do a family trip to Europe. Why don't you do a Steve Bertrand travel where people take their kids?
Ooh,
and we'll lead a tour with kids. I love him. That's great voicemail. It's great. Yeah. It's blah, blah, blah.
And what did he say? He said, Matt,
he said nothing. He didn't return the call. So, to Bertrand and his travel.
Ooh, Dove's fighting words.
Take that in your business lunch. Put that in your business lunch and smoke it.
There
pal. I'd love to lead a listener tour of Europe. That'd be fun with kids, and you bring your kids or your grandkids, whatever.
Yeah.
And we have a nice little group, and we go see all the cool things overseas. That'd be great.
Where would you take them, though? What kid-friendly areas of Europe would you want to take them to?
I would say, you know, depending on the age of the kids. So my kids are 13.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So I think 13 should really be the age at the earliest that they're going, so that they're really going to grasp it and, you know, carry it around. I would say in London, when we last went to London, I think there's plenty of stuff, including the war rooms, I think are fascinating and I think kids could get into.
Okay.
I would also take them to Stonehenge. In Paris or in France, I would take them to the beaches of Normandy and all those places. I think there's great historical significance and a lot you can get out of it. And God, there's art and stuff everywhere in France.
Sure.
So there's a million different things.
Yeah.
I think you can plan a nice little thing. Plus, the Women's World Cup is going to be in France this summer. You could go see a Women's World Cup game.
Well, that'd be nice.
I think there's a lot of,
Yeah,
but Bertrand blew it, so.
Well, when was the last time you called him?
I'm not calling again. I called once. I'm not begging. It's not how it works. Just because I lose my keys at the sewer doesn't mean I'm begging for trips to Europe. I have some standards, you know.
About $25, but I'm not begging for a trip to
Steve,
Europe.
Last week I was fishing in the sewers of Chicago, and it struck me I'd be leading a tour of Europe for your Steve Bertrand travel.
That's funny. I'm telling you.
Right. I do not know what this phone call is. But what Jeff typed up is very interesting. Jay in Kenosha is on the line. Hey, Jay, how are you?
Matt, I'm fine, Matt. I wanted to just make a comment and thank you for mentioning that Sally Field was interviewed in Chicago. I did not know that. And I wish her a best of success on her book of the memoir that she has recently distributed. And I like your show very much, Matt. Go Cats!
Go Cats! All right, Jay, thank you very much. I don't know where that was headed. Jay's good for Jay. Thank you for calling in, Jay. Yeah, Heidi Stevens, our good friend from the Chicago Tribune, got to interview her. I don't know if there, if Heidi also got to interview her on video or anything like that that you could see, but follow. Heidi started her own Facebook page, or the Tribune had her start a Heidi Stevens. She writes the Balancing Act column, you know, about parenting and living life and all those good things. She has a good Facebook group that you should subscribe to if you are so inclined, and on Facebook. 312-981-7200. Let's catch up on some spots. We got some more to do here before we say hi to Orion on 720 WGN.